About time.
Toxically divide and, of course, racist policies. We'll get at that in more detail. In a speech that was long on patriotism, I put this question to Sir Keir.
Outside of prime ministerial duty, what was the last patriotic thing you did?
Leading my country.
But that's your duty as PM.
Yes.
So what's the last patriotic thing you did?
Well, I think all of us, myself included, have looked in on people, on our neighbours, to check they're all right.
Yes, he looked in on his neighbours. In other news, but related, thousands of places at nurseries. But what's the reality?
Sir Keir Starmer seems to reckon he's every young parent's favourite PM. But what do the parents think? I'm LBC's Luke Shanahan with the latest.
Plus, the two-child benefit cap could be lifted in the autumn budget, but what would it mean for you? Those stories and more after the 7 o'clock news on LBC.
On your radio, on the LBC app, and...
Play LBC.
Leading Britain's conversation. This is LBC.
From Global's newsroom at 7 o'clock, Sir Keir Starmer has told LBC that he is not obsessed with Nigel Farage after stepping up his attacks on Reform UK. The Prime Minister used his speech to Labour's conference to say the Reform leader doesn't like Britain and just resorts to grievance. Mr Farage has accused him of putting campaigners' safety at risk by encouraging the radical left. Nick Ferrari asked Sir Keir whether that's true.
No, that's not the case. He says a lot of things that I don't agree with. I am concerned to make the argument, and I will, on behalf of the country that I love. I am deeply concerned about Reform because I think they will toxically divide our country and rip it apart. And I'm up for that fight because I think it is the fight of our time.
Sir Keir's also told Nick he would like to see Angela Rayner back in frontline politics. You can hear the full interview after the news. There is growing speculation the two-child benefit cap could be scrapped in the budget. The Chancellor, Rachel Reeves, hasn't denied the reports, but says she won't commit to policies without explaining where the money is coming from. Many US federal services are set to grind to a halt as a result of a government shutdown. Federal funding was cut off at midnight after senators failed to pass a last-minute bill in a row over healthcare spending. Essential staff will continue work as normal, but others have been placed on unpaid leave. President Trump has warned lawmakers are taking a risk.
We can do things during the shutdown that are irreversible, that are bad for them and irreversible by them. Like cutting vast numbers of people out, cutting things that they like, cutting programs that they like.
Courts are to sit for extra days to help tackle huge backlogs in the justice system. The Deputy Prime Minister, David Lammy, will announce plans to fund an extra 1,250 sitting days in a speech later. Princess Anne has made a surprise trip to Ukraine to pay her respects to children killed in the war with Russia. The Princess Royal also discussed Britain's support for Kyiv with President Zelensky. In the city, the FTSE 100 will reopen this morning at 93.50 after closing up 50 yesterday. The pound buys $1.34 and a euro 14. LBC weather, any fog clearing to leave sunny spells for many places, cloudy with some heavy rain in northern areas. A high of 19 degrees. From Global's newsroom for LBC, I'm Thomas Watts.
Angela Rippon, what are you doing here?
I've come to tell you about using energy flexibly, Albert.
Flexibly?
Yes, smart meter owners could get rewarded for moving their energy use, like doing the laundry at off-peak times.
So I don't need to do the splits?
No, Albert, nobody wants to see that.
Get rewarded for using energy flexibly, only with a smart meter. Search Get a Smart Meter today.
Eligibility and availability vary. Consumer action required. Reward schemes and tariffs available to selected customers from selected suppliers.
This is LBC from Global, leading Britain's conversation with Nick Ferrari at breakfast.
Good morning. 3 minutes after seven on Wednesday, the 1st of October, the morning after the afternoon before an extraordinary speech. It's decency or division. But a speech in which the Prime Minister mentioned Nigel Farage almost as much as he did his late father. We'll look at that in a little more detail. In an extended interview with the Prime Minister, also talked about developments in the Middle East.
How do you feel about a previous Prime Minister, Tony Blair, having more influence than you do currently in the Middle East from what we saw yesterday at the White House?
Well, it looks as though there might be a possibility of some sort of deal or set of arrangements that everyone can get around.
So you welcome Sir Tony's arrival in this?
Yes, I'm less concerned with the particularities of who does which bit.
not a ringing endorsement, is it? Plus, I'll ask him why it would appear he is obsessed with Nigel Farage and Reform UK, and also ask, anybody remember the Conservative Party? In other news, there's a storm blowing in.
I'm Plenazir, meteorologist and broadcaster, talking to Nick on the latest bout of bad weather coming our way. More rain in the north through the next few days and the risk of it turning stormy into the weekend.
Plus, the possibilities you heard on the LBC News Bulletin, the two-child benefit cap could be lifted in next month's budget. An outrage as white students are barred from applying to a barrister work experience scheme. It's not all white on the night.
Nick Ferrari at breakfast. Call 0345 6060 973. Text 84850. Nick Ferrari at breakfast on LBC.
52 minutes and counting. That was how long the Prime Minister's speech ran for yesterday, and after which, with a number of other broadcasters, I was afforded the opportunity to have a sit-down interview with the Prime Minister. I'll be honest with you, it was fairly rushed. There are a lot of broadcasters to get through, and almost the minute you sit down, they're trying to drag you out of the chair. But we tried to discuss as much as we can. Everything from the threat of Nigel Farage and Reform UK, whether Angela Rayner should return to frontline politics, and what is the future of the Middle East. But I started off by asking the Prime Minister about one particular element of his speech.
Prime Minister, you talked about doing patriotic things, such as cutting an orange, painting a fence, or looking in on your neighbour. When did you last do any of those? Have you looked on in Rachel recently?
I have looked in on all my neighbours. What I was trying to get across there is something which I think we often overlook but really does matter, which is that millions of people in this country do lots of things to look after each other.
Yes.
I mean, cutting the orange is just running the local team.
What it might, you've never painted a fence, have you, Prime Minister?
Well,
or your neighbour's fence?
It's not about me painting a fence, but people, I'm really struck by the number of people that really care about their communities and want to put in. And you see it all the time. This example of people knocking on the door of a neighbour to check they're all right.
Which you do with Rachel on a regular basis?
Well, Rachel is my neighbour at the moment. I mean, we don't so much knock on the door. Our kids have bought a joint trampoline in the back garden of Downing Street.
Okay.
So they bounce around all there.
But, so we're checking she's well.
But the point I was making, it is because there's this, some people argue that Britain is broken.
Well,
and that somehow we can't hold together. And there are wonderful things people do. And I had a number of examples in my speech.
There are
just also the things that people, the almost ordinary little things that people do every day where they just put in for their community. I think they're really valuable. I think they speak to who we are as Brits.
But you spoke about a broken Britain 2 years ago in this very city, Prime Minister. You said what is broken can be repaired. So Britain isn't broken or is broken?
Well,
which is it?
What I was referring to there is, you know, bits of our system like prisons, etc., pretty broken, hospitals pretty broken. But today I was trying to make a bigger argument about who we are as a country. And
but that's a flip-flop,
country.
Isn't it? Some parts of Britain are broken.
I think it's perfectly all right to say, look, the prison system is pretty broken and we're mending it. But at the same time, the country's not broken. Who we are as a people. The speech I made, I decided early in the summer that it wouldn't be the usual sort of set of policies that are sometimes done at Labour Party conference. I wanted to make a bigger speech as who we are as a country. What does patriotism mean? What is the country that I love? And so it was a bigger argument about who we are as a people rather than whether bits of the system are broken.
Outside of prime ministerial duty, what was the last patriotic thing you did?
Well, leading my country.
But that's your duty as PM.
Yes.
So what's the last patriotic thing you did outside of a duty as the PM?
Well, I think all of us, myself included, have looked in on people, on our neighbours, to check they're all right. I do that as a friend and a neighbour all of the time, along with... I'm not claiming something special for myself.
No, OK.
But both myself and Vic tend to look after our community, look after our friends and neighbours, and I'm proud to do that. I'm not claiming any special role here. That is what I think genuinely millions of people do.
One thing that is perhaps currently broken is the relationship with Angela Rayner. Wes Streeting said today, we want her back, we need her back. Do you agree?
Yes, I mean, I said when Ange stepped down that she had been a major voice in the Labour movement and that she would be a major voice for many years to come. I was personally very sad to see her go, Nick. I mean, if you talk about social mobility, there is no greater story than Angela Rayner coming from very difficult circumstances to become Deputy Prime Minister.
You're ready to welcome her back.
I was very proud of that.
Yes.
She made a mistake.
Yes.
She made a mistake. She's paid a heavy price.
Indeed.
And I've always thought that she will be a major voice again in the Labour movement.
Okay.
And I think that is a good thing. And I've been really struck, actually, since she did step down, by the number of people from different political walks of life who say to me they do want to see Angela Rayner have that voice again at some stage.
If we come to the Middle East, you said, and I quote, "I'll never give up on diplomacy." When did you inform Benjamin Netanyahu that you would recognise the state of Palestine?
Well, I phoned him, which was the right thing to do, when I made the decision in July as to how we would go about the process. So I talked it through with him.
How did he react?
Person to person. Well, I'm not going to go into the details of the call, but it was the right thing to talk him through both what I was, the path I was going down, and the reasons for going down that path. Israel is an ally, and it's important that we're clear about that. It has a right to self-defence. It's really important that we're clear about that. But I do think that the very prospect of a two-state solution was diminishing before our very eyes, and that's why I talked him through not only the path I was going down, but the reasons for going down it.
But recognition without the need to return the hostages or the bodies of the hostages, why, Prime Minister?
The return of the hostages is an absolute demand that we've been making.
Yes, but it wasn't included in your recognition.
The hostages should be returned immediately. I've said that
every
occasion.
But it wasn't a condition of your recognition.
No,
some would say you rewarded terrorism.
No, I completely reject that.
Go ahead.
Because the two-state solution that I believe in is a two-state solution in which Hamas has absolutely no part in governance. It is the opposite of what Hamas says. It's not rewarding Hamas, it's writing them out of the future. They do not believe in a two-state solution. This is the precise opposite of what Hamas says. They're a terrorist organisation, and we need to be calling them out as that.
But
they should release the hostages, and they should play no part in governing in Palestine in the future.
How do you feel about a previous Prime Minister, Tony Blair, having more influence than you do currently in the Middle East from what we saw yesterday at the White House?
Well, it looks as though there might be a possibility of some sort of deal or set of arrangements that everyone can get around. I hope that is the case, and we are working with others, with the US and Arab states, as you would expect.
You welcome Sir Tony's arrival in this.
We're working with the US and Arab states.
And you welcome Sir Tony's arrival in this.
I'm less concerned with the particularities of who does which bit. If there's a chance of a deal, a set of arrangements around which people can move forward so that we can get those hostages out, get that aid in, and move towards a peaceful, lasting settlement in the Middle East, then I say it is our responsibility to lean into that and to try to get it.
And you're relaxed with Sir Tony being in that role?
Yes, well, so we're working with the US, working with the Arab states, as you would expect on this. And again, it's not about the personalities. We've nearly been in this place a number of times. It is really important now, if there's a prospect of ending this fighting and getting those hostages out and getting that aid in, then we should lean into that and try and make it work.
We're coming to the end of our time together. Minutes after you put your speech, and congratulations, I could see how well it went down in the hall we're sitting in now, so well done. But Nigel Farage came up, as you're probably aware, and claimed you had an obsession with him. How concerned are you that he says some of your comments could have put him at risk?
No, that's not the case.
Respectfully, that's what Mr. Farage says, Prime Minister.
Well, he says a lot of things that I don't agree with. I am concerned to make the argument, and I will, on behalf of the country that I love. This tolerant, beautiful, diverse country, where we pull together as a country. I am deeply concerned about reform, because I think they will toxically divide our country and rip it apart. And I'm up for that fight, because I think it is the fight of our times. It goes to the soul of who we are as a country.
But you mentioned Mr. Farage five times, almost as much as you did your late father. You are mildly obsessed, aren't you?
No, not at all. There is a political divide, the like of which we have not seen in this country. You know, we traditionally have Labour versus the Tories. That is not the fight next time around. And this is not peculiar to the United Kingdom. You can see it all across Europe. The centre-right parties are withering on the vine, as the Tories are. It is a different fight. It goes to a more fundamental issue, which is who are we as a country?
Okay.
And it's really important that I go out and fight for and defend for the country that I love, that I am a patriot of.
And you're going to still smash the gangs, lastly. Mr. Farage pointed out, 400 people arrived today. You're still smashing the gangs. We will not surrender our borders, Prime Minister.
We will not surrender our borders.
But 400 arrived today, Prime Minister.
I appreciate that, and we're working really hard to bring those numbers down. I'd just point this out, Nick, if I may. We are passing a borders bill, which is to give more powers to law enforcement at the borders. What did Nigel Farage do? He voted against it. We've got a returns deal with France, means we can return people to France. What does Farage say he'll do? He says he'll pull that down. We want to have ID cards so that you cannot work in our economy illegally. What does Farage do? He says he doesn't want it. Common factor here, he doesn't want to fix this problem. Because if the boats stop coming across the channel, then he knows that his political currency goes down. He doesn't want to fix the problem. He wants to feed off it. That's the difference.
The Prime Minister speaking yesterday afternoon with me at the Labour Party conference in Liverpool. That speech, of course, our country has the grit of the lionesses, swagger of Oasis and the strength of the Red Roses. Well, that's definitely a hit. Or short on policy, out of touch and soon possibly out of a job, that's a miss. Hit or miss for you. Plus,
Sir Keir Starmer seems to reckon he's every young parent's favourite PM. But what do the parents think? I'm LBC's Luke Shanahan with the latest.
7.15 LBC News headlines now. Thomas Watts.
Speaking to Nick, Sir Keir Starmer has insisted he is not obsessed with Nigel Farage after stepping up attacks on the Reform UK leader. There's growing speculation the two-child benefit cap could go in the budget, and many US federal services are grinding to a halt as a result of a government shutdown. LBC weather, fog clearing to leave sunny spells for many, cloudier further north, a high of 19 degrees.
LBC Travel, I'm Joanne Webb. The M25 is closed clockwise at Junction 14 at Heathrow Airport. It's following an accident. The diversion is via the exit and entry slip roads, but there are delays of about an hour from Junction 12 at the M3. Surrounding routes also very busy, especially the A30. So if you're heading this way towards Heathrow Airport, do allow yourself extra time. Also on the M25, there are anti-clockwise queues at Junction 29 at the A127. That's following an accident, but all the lanes are now back open. The A12 very slow going southbound from Junction 14 at Margaretting to Junction 13 at Ingatestone, and that's following an accident. And on the underground, the Northern Line trains aren't stopping at South Wimbledon Station.
LBC.
Angela Rippon, what are you doing here?
I've come to tell you about using energy flexibly, Albert.
Flexibly?
Yes, smart meter owners could get rewarded for moving their energy use, like doing the laundry at off-peak times.
So I don't need to do the splits?
No, Albert, nobody wants to see that.
Get rewarded for using energy flexibly, only with a smart meter. Search Get a Smart Meter today.
Eligibility and availability vary. Consumer action required. Reward schemes and tariffs available to selected customers from selected suppliers.
This is LBC. Listen on Global Player or the LBC app. Download it from your app store now.
This year, Amazon are increasing the electric delivery vehicles we use across Europe to 10,000. It's a difference you'll notice on your doorstep, where babies are made a fuss of, where we deliver footballs for kids' kickabouts, and where they deliver the football straight into next door's garden.
Can they have their ball back, please?
We're delivering change where it matters, on your doorstep. Delivery service partner vehicles across the UK and EU.
Arenas full of fans. Stars taking it to another level. The excitement, the glory, the action. And you could be behind it all. Kickstart your career in esports with Global Academy's new esports production sixth form course. Get the skills and knowledge to join a fast-growing media industry. And you could even join Global Academy's own esports team. Thinking what next after GCSEs? Then find out more about the esports production sixth form course at globalacademy.com.
Hey, it's me, your dishwasher. I'm sorry about the chaos last night. I think a fork got jammed in my racks. Whoops. Don't even check the bills. I've overdone it. Don't get mad, okay, but I used up lots of power yesterday. Sometimes you just have to blow off some steam.
It can feel like all your energy does is take, take, take. But the longer you're with OVO, the more rewards you get. OVO, do energy differently. Beyond customers only, eligibility required, redemption limits apply.
Nick Ferrari at breakfast. Call 0345 6060973.
19 minutes after 7, coming to you, Sean, you'll be the first caller. Hit or miss yesterday and the extraordinary opprobrium that's directed towards Nigel Farage and Reform UK will also be exploring the fact that, of course, you might have heard this, that David Lammy subsequently, after the speech, suggested that Nigel Farage was linked with Hitler Youth. He subsequently apologised for that, but that's a very live line of conversation. Tweeting some of the headlines, and you sit there with your producer and you try and work out what you want to ask the Prime Minister, and you know you've only got 7 or 8 minutes or whatever it was. And one aspect, which is the front page of the Daily Telegraph, which would have been my next question if I hadn't been dragged out by... And I understand why, and I'm not critical at all. Of course they have to manage the time, and all of us, all the broadcasters would take as much time as they could if they weren't very... So they have to be strict with us. I'd get it. But the Telegraph has the line, quotes, "I won't surrender our flag." I found that intriguing, and that would have been my next question. Well, Prime Minister, who's asked you to surrender? I don't understand. I won't surrender. And that is the front page of the Daily Telegraph. A lot of it divides on party lines. For the Daily Mail, the day Labour dragged politics into the gutter. I'm quite sure whether it's like that. Meanwhile, the Daily Mirror, pride over prejudice, and the Guardian, decency or division. Britain faces an era-defining choice, says the Prime Minister. And it is Nigel Farage, that aspect, which I think there is a mild obsession, almost a clinical matter there. That's the front page of the Times. Farage does not believe in Britain. That aspect we're looking at later in the show. Front page of the LBC app, unfortunately, bad luck. You'll see a picture of me, and I do apologise. Sitting with Sir Keir Starmer. Starmer denies being obsessed with Nigel Farage. And let's take one other front page at random. And this is from Sky News. Sky News talking about the possibility that we will be covering, by the way, of a two-child benefit cap lifted in the autumn budget. All right, let's come to hits. With that, and that was a very good line, by the way. I don't want to be seen, and praise where praise is due. I felt, to be honest, the speech felt a bit disjointed. I said to my colleague, my producer, as we were watching it, it's like three different people have written this. There's no narrative that kind of links it together. 52 minutes of it. But there was a good line. Our country has the grit of the lionesses, the swagger of Oasis, and the strength of the red roses. The PM going on to say, "I'll fight for it with every breath." I thought that was very powerful. Others, I felt, were a bit rambling. Enough from me. Sean in Tavistock, what did you take from it, Sean?
Good morning, Nick.
Morning,
Governor. Good morning, everybody. Nick, you exposed him for what he is. He's an internationalist. He was a Corbyn minister for 4 years. The red flag he should be flying, not the Union Jack. He stood in that cabinet for 4 years, standing by Corbyn, a hard left Marxist. He stood by those the budgets, the manifestos, and when Corbyn went, he stood as for a leader and got the membership to vote for him, who were Corbynistas, and sacked Corbyn. The guy's a complete charlatan, and he's not to be believed. Anything they say, don't believe it. He's a hard-left Marxist, and he always was. Look at his background, Nick.
Was there anything he said that hit the spot for you yesterday, Sean?
He's not credible. He's been told to say this by McSweeney. He's so scripted, Nick. He forgets things. I forgot to... Oh, yeah, I didn't read that again, did I? He said something recently, but he forgot to read it properly. The guy is scripted by McSweeney. But I have to say, Farage is just as bad on the right. He's a nationalist. Neither of these are two attractive figures for our politics at the moment. We are essentially small-C conservative. We have been since Matt Miller.
Gosh, you've almost... I was going to say, and I've enjoyed speaking with you down the years, anyone ever heard of the Conservative Party? Where the hell are they in all this?
They copy the lead. They copy. Mick Millin was the first politician to bring One Nation Conservatism in. Mm. If you look at the trail, Margaret Thatcher even kept the Tory wet seat cabinet. They were moderate Conservative, trying to get the centre ground. When the Major saw off Kinnock, that was Kinnock in Ken Clark, Heseltine, Majors. Who came after? Blair Mandelson. Who came after that? Nick Clegg and Cameron, all moderately conservative. That's who we are. We're not Starmer and we're not Farage.
Lastly, do you think he or Labour are mildly obsessed with Nigel Farage?
They're fighting for the white working class vote. Farage is a dog whistler. He can whip them up easy. He saw it on that demonstration. He's good at it. He's dangerous nationalism. And Starmer knows he needs a white working class to get over the line, so he's playing this card, but don't believe it.
Always good to speak to you. Look after yourself, buddy. Sean, thank you. Malcolm's in Wigan. Malcolm, hit or miss for you yesterday? What worked for you? Good morning.
Well, I didn't watch all of the speech, but I listened to a certain amount of the interview. Okay. I mean, the key thing is that he's barking up the wrong tree in a number of cases. For example, on ID cards, this ridiculous notion that by having ID cards or ID...
It's a digital ID, isn't it?
I mean, there's immediate criticisms that can be made of that, such as what happens if you lose your mobile phone? What about people who don't like mobile phones?
Right.
But also, look, come on. the French, I was watching Richard Tice on Question Time, and he said that the French have already got ID cards. Well, if it prevents illegal migration, then why has it not prevented illegal migration coming into France? Because most of them who want to come from France have themselves illegally entered France with a view, in some cases, to entering Britain. So,
well, I think, Malcolm, what Emmanuel Macron, the French president, would say is, but it stops them getting employment, so it makes it less attractive, so it means they come and try and get across the channel, Malcolm.
Well, that doesn't alter the fact that they've illegally entered France.
True. Yep, okay. No, you're right on that. Malcolm, thank you. I'm only being brief because a lot of people want to have their say on this. Malcolm, thank you. Hit or miss for you, Julia in Bromley. Julia, good morning.
Good morning. I don't know what your first caller before last was talking about, I think Keir Starmer being a Marxist.
Right.
I just don't see any evidence much of anything with Keir Starmer, sadly. I don't see, he's definitely not coming in to take loads of money from the wealthy. No. But equally, he doesn't seem to be setting things up to help people to step up.
Julia,
so,
is he a patriot, do you think?
I think he is, yeah. He clearly does his job because he thinks he's doing something amazing for the country, but there's a bit of a disconnect between what he thinks he's doing and what the electorate feel that he's doing.
You don't think he's talking up his patriotism because of the challenge from Nigel Farage? You think it's genuinely there, Julia? I'm asking you, by the way, I'm not being critical.
Yeah, no, I know. I do think there is too much focus on Farage, and dare I say it, even on LBC, I see everywhere
Too much.
I don't hear enough from people that I want to hear from. I want to hear more from the Green Party. I think they've got a lot to say. And I hear I think a lot of people who vote Liberal would like to hear more from the Liberals.
Well, let me justify why I cover Nigel Farage so much, which is I do think currently, at the next general election, there is a real chance that actually for Reform could be the biggest party. If not that, they will be the biggest opposition. And, Julia, that is unheralded in the field of politics, that a political party goes from not even being formed a few years ago to almost certainly being, at the very least, the major party of opposition. That is one hell of a story, and that's why I, as a journalist, focus on it, Julia. And I can't say the same of the Greens or the Lib Dems.
The only thing I would say to that is,
please.
I think that the media does serve a purpose in giving a platform to other groups. If you don't give the other, if as a listener, all I'm hearing every morning, and to be honest, it makes me switch off because
I'm glad you're telling me this. But when Ipsos do a poll, when YouGov do a poll, we have to be aware of what people tell these polling agencies. I have to be aware of that, Julia.
But I don't think anybody isn't aware of Nigel Farage now. Okay. Like, people either love him or they hate him. And there are other people out there with other narratives and other ways of looking at things. And I think if they were given a platform, that could help them to evolve.
I really have benefited from your views, and I'm very grateful. And I've taken it on board. And we probably do need to give them more of a platform. And I will have a chat with my producer about that. Julia, thank you. Have yourself a good day down at Bromley. As I often say, I'll see you in the Glades one day, which used to be the shopping centre. I don't know if it's... I can't remember the last time I went to Bromley. Right, it was big on flag-waving, but a little bit light, some would suggest, on policies, although the Prime Minister did speak of the addition, the number of nursery places. So we decided to send Luke Shanahan, LBC's Luke Shanahan, to speak with parents outside Flutterby's Day Nursery in Coventry.
You certainly did, Nick, because much has been made of the speech. I'll try not to make too much more of that, delivered by the UK's most unpopular Prime Minister ever after recent polling. But you did indeed, Nick, ask me to zero in on one part of the speech. This is one of the achievements Sir Keir Starmer pointed to at the Labour Party conference in Liverpool yesterday.
Our childcare provision is a game changer, giving every child the best start in life, every single child equal at the starting line of their education. That's National Renewal Conference. That's why we made the tough decisions. And I make no apologies if they tilt towards working people, because it's working people who pay the price of Tory decline.
But has it tilted towards working people and specifically working parents? I asked parents at that nursery in Coventry if they've noticed a change to their childcare outgoings under this government.
Not much of a difference. It's because majority of the nurseries now don't actually give you just 30 hours free.
I haven't noticed any change at the minute. I know about the 30 hours that I've kicked in from September, but
not a lot of nurseries
do them free. So it sounds better than what it is, yeah.
It still works out, like, maybe like £600-700 a month. From the help that they're given, it's making the nurseries, like, put the price up. So then it sort of counteracts it anyways.
I think it's just giving people false hope, and then they're having children, and then they're finding out all this information.
And those were parents who are eligible for the free 30 hours. Not every parent is. Families who don't earn enough, because you have to be on more than the very specific yearly wage of £9,518 to qualify. Those families have to pay £205 a week on average for the same amount of early education for a child under two. So the poorest parents are actually paying more under this new policy. I think a big part of a bigger problem, though, Nick, is everything's getting more expensive, whether you have children or not. The energy price cap, of course, goes up today. And so the parents are saying, what's a few free hours childcare a week really amounting to? A drop in the ocean seems to be the answer. If you wanted to be kind to the Prime Minister, and maybe you don't, Nick, but if I was to be kind to him, maybe any kind of policy, especially concerning financial help or support, is just a drop in the ocean in today's climate. But I think that phrase used by Bally, one of the parents you've just heard from, he's giving false hope. I think that probably sums up best why Sir Keir Starmer is polling so catastrophically right now.
LBC's Luke Shanahan reporting from the nursery gates. What is the reality? My children are way beyond nursery age. What is the reality for you? The promise, the pledge, the delivery of which the Prime Minister spoke. What is the reality, as my colleague Luke was finding out? We'll take your calls on nursery provision and, of course, the nursery cost of nursery care as well. Later in the show, we're coming back to what I believe is an extraordinary obsession almost between the Labour Party and Nigel Farage. Here's Deputy Prime Minister David Lammy yesterday making this claim.
I will leave it for the public to come to their own judgments about someone who once flirted with Hitler Youth when he was younger. That is for the public.
He was talking of Nigel Farage, something, by the way, I have to say, he subsequently apologised. Plus, batten down the hatches.
I'm Fen Azir, meteorologist and broadcaster, talking to Nick on the latest bout of bad weather coming our way. More rain in the north through the next few days and the risk of it turning stormy into the weekend.
7.31, you're listening to Breakfast with me, Nick Ferrari, here on LBC News Time. Thomas Watts.
Sir Keir Starmer has told Nick that he is not at all obsessed with Nigel Farage, despite ramping up attacks on Reform UK. He's also rejected claims he's put Reform campaigners' safety at risk by calling the party's migration policy racist. There's growing speculation about the future of the two-child benefit cap, which could go in the budget. The Chancellor, Rachel Reeves, says she won't make any spending commitments without explaining where the money will be coming from. The US government's shut down after the Democrats refused to back a Republican spending plan. Non-essential federal workers are being furloughed, with disruption expected at airports. LBC weather. Fog clearing to leave sunny spells for many. Cloudy with heavy rain in northern areas. A high of 19 degrees.
LBC.
Amazon offers term time working to their employees, like Anton, who's home to look after his daughters during their holidays.
Hello!
To him, this is the best sound in the world. Actually, maybe that's the best sound of all. Now that's term time working. Offered at Amazon. 10 weeks off guaranteed per year. Mix of paid holiday and unpaid time off. Conditions apply.
Buying a home on a holiday park was the retreat you always wanted. But then came unexpected site fee increases. And that was before the dramatic loss in value. If you bought a home on a holiday park in the UK, you may have been missold. Holidayparkadvicecentre.co.uk could help you receive thousands in compensation. Text ASSIST to 78900. That's ASSIST to 78900.
Running a ceramic studio is all about balance, right, Nina?
Absolutely. That's why my business deserves the new iPhone 17 Pro. It can help me handle even the busiest workday, from planning my classes to keeping my kiln on track, so my business still holds shape.
The all-new iPhone 17 Pro? As pro as your work demands. Your business deserves the most powerful iPhone on EE. the UK's best network, BT and EE, better for business.
Verify at ee.co.uk/claims.
Nick Ferrari at breakfast. Call 0345 6060973.
7:34, back to your assessments concerning Sir Keir Starmer's speech, hit or miss, and we'll come to those calls in a moment. Plus, a weather warning, there's a hurricane a-blowing in, and we'll give you more on that. But let's get over now to the world of business and finance, joined by Christian May, who's editor-in-chief at City AM. And let's go to the front, straight away to the front page of City AM. Rather troubling news for our great capital city. Morning, Christian.
Good morning, Nick. Yeah, we keep a very close eye on the state of what we call the public markets, the equity markets here in the UK. Listed companies, people might know it as the FTSE 100. Of course, it's wider and broader than that. We keep a very close eye on that because the health of those public markets, where people, individuals, institutions, hedge funds, investors can buy and sell shares of the biggest companies in this country, is a really important indicator as to the health of the economy. Now, there's slightly contradictory music playing, if you like, because whilst we report today that the FTSE 100 is hitting a record high in terms of the value of the businesses listed on it, we also report today, as you say, on the front page, some data compiled by Bloomberg Analytics that looks at the extent to which the UK public markets are suffering. So the number of companies coming to market, we call that an IPO, we call it going public, we call it a float. In 2021, about £17 billion was raised by investors as companies went public in London. We now know that about 180 million quid was the figure for the first 9 months of this year. Lots of reasons as to why London is struggling. It's not other parts of Europe are struggling too, but most of the firepower is being deployed in the US, that's for sure. The UK London market's dominated by defence companies, mining companies, quite solid companies. We're a little bit thin on the ground when it comes to these new tech superstars that dominate the US. The UK has fallen now to 23rd in the global ranking of destinations for people to take their companies public, and that is a bit of a problem for the City of London.
All right, question for you. When did you last use cash, Christian?
Well, you know, I've been thinking about that this morning, and I'm not sure I'm going to say this in case the tax man's listening, but I will observe that it would have been for, you know, day-to-day purchases, Nick, it would have been quite some time ago. Fortunately, I've got an eight-year-old boy who's quite obsessed with cash at the moment and is forever counting his coins.
Bless him.
But for the rest of us, yeah, it's a changing landscape, isn't it? Cash was used for just 9% of payments in the UK last year, down from 12% the year before. In 2019, pre-COVID, it was 23%. So that trajectory is clear. But people are, you know, at pains to point out that we can't just say, well, it's all going to disappear and use it, because people have said today on the back of these figures, those that do use cash might be a dwindling number, but for those people, it is incredibly important. And sorry, my daughter's just popped into the room.
We need some cash. Come along, young lady. Absolutely right.
So, you know, people who rely on it, you know, might be slightly alarmed by this, and there are plenty of voices in the debate saying, don't switch off the cash taps just yet.
All right, do one more story, because you must look after your daughter. Do one for me quickly, Christian, then look after the little one.
Well, just got to remember the sight of all those tech chiefs lined up in front of or behind Donald Trump at his inauguration. There's now sort of money where their mouth is. YouTube has become the latest tech giant to pay about $25 million to settle a lawsuit brought by Donald Trump after the platform... my daughter doesn't like Donald Trump very much. After the platform took him off in the wake of the Capitol Hill riots, as did many other social media platforms, they've all now apologised, grovelled and paid him a load of money. And some of that money is going to go to redecorating his ballroom at the White House.
All right. How old is the little lady by your side at the minute?
5 years old.
Yeah, she's got you completely. Completely under her thumb, I can see that. I'll leave you to it, buddy. Thank you. Give her my best. Christian, go and be a dad. Christian May, editor-in-chief at City AM. Five-year-old taking complete control there. Can I just? We're going to come to you, Rudy, if you're calling me. But I'm going to make a confession. I have been going to party conferences. I don't know, probably 20 years. I didn't use any cash on this trip, and I felt terrible about it. I tried to get cash when I got to the railway station, and I forgot. I'll be honest with you. And I've never done. And I always try and give taxi drivers cash. And the taxi I got from the airport, where was I going? From the railway station to the hotel, the taxi I got afterwards, I gave them credit cards, and I hate myself. I hate myself, and I think I'm going to die that I didn't take cash with me. I can't believe it, because I'm a huge fan of cash. When did I last pay for something? Oh, I know. It was the weekend, that's not so bad. It was in a DIY store in Teddington. What's he doing in Teddington? It's a DIY store in Teddington buying some picture hooks. I paid cash. And the guy was astonished. I picked up these picture hooks, he hands the machine to me, and I said, you take... Oh, yeah, I'll take cash. When did you last use cash? It's extraordinary, isn't it? 7:39. Rudy, you're going to give me your view. Hit or miss for Sir Keir Starmer in just a moment, but this is almost a public service here, because there's a storm a-blowing in. Hurricanes Humberto and Imelda. Here with more... I love these notes. Here with more details, cashing in Claire Nazir, meteorologist and broadcaster. G'day, Claire. What's coming our way? Morning.
Morning, Nick. Yes, so we're seeing an active hurricane season currently across the tropical North Atlantic. These are turning right and heading towards the sort of more cooler waters of the North Atlantic, where they are moderating and becoming extratropical, which means they are just normal depressions, however still potent, and they've got a lot of life in them, and that's why we get some storminess at this time of year. And certainly through the rest of this week, Scotland and Northern Ireland in the firing line for a lot of rain. There's rain warnings from today through to Friday for Western Scotland. We could see lots of volumes of water just cascading down mountains, you know, deep water issues, so lots of risks there. But towards the end of the week, into the weekend, a deep area of low pressure. And with that entrained some remnants of these tropical storms, but it's been moderated, as I said, will bring with it severe gales towards the north, heavy rain for most places, and blustery showers to follow. So we're looking at, through Friday into Saturday, some pretty lively weather where there will be impacts. Warnings will be issued today by the Met Office as they look at that again. It's worth staying up to date, but certainly, yes, quite a inclement time ahead.
All blown through by the week, by Monday, or will it continue?
Yes. I mean, we're still in the firing line. I mean, we're still in that zone or that time of the year where we'll get more and more of these, but Monday's looking better than Saturday and Sunday. And I must say, Nick, I didn't realise you were so practical and generous, so congratulations on both of those.
Thanks, Claire. As ever, enjoy speaking with Claire Nazir, meteorologist and broadcaster. Let's come back to that interview with the Prime Minister, Sir Keir Starmer. I asked him what he did that was patriotic. He said he goes round and knocks on neighbours' doors all the time. Imagine. Oh, God, it's Keir again. I'm all right. I'm okay, Keir. Oh, just chucking. No, that's fine. Everything's cool. And is furious with me. Leading a country seems quite a patriotic thing to do. What do you expect? Painting roundabouts? Hanging flags on roundabouts? Katie says, Keir says he looks on his neighbours, yet Rachel Reeves at number 11 was in tears on the bunch of front on the front bench a few weeks ago, and he didn't seem to notice. This is Orlando. Starmer is a changed man. He was answering all your questions. Orlando, I'll put that down as a hit, but is it a hit or a miss for Rudy in Bristol? Which was it, Rudy, and why? Good morning.
Well, I thought I was listening to an episode of Jack and Ori when Keir Starmer was talking.
Why so, know, sir?
He hasn't got a patriotic bone in his body. And for me, I would never, ever vote for Labour because he is a person that cannot make right choices. You only have to look at his cabinet. Having someone like David Lammy as Deputy Prime Minister and making such comments that were false about Nigel Farage being part of the Hitler Youth when Nigel Farage wasn't even born when the Hitler Youth was around. You know, all those things, and then they just backtrack on it, you know?
Yeah, okay. Why do you imagine they are so rattled by Nigel Farage and Reform UK, Rudy?
Because they're tanking votes, and they know it. It's like the ship is sinking, and there's more water than they have got buckets to take the water out the boat. You know, and that's what the problem is. And they're it's like crying for help. I'm not a Nigel Farage fan, to be honest, but I do condone anyone saying stuff that is completely untrue, which is defamatory against another person. And a deputy prime minister should know better. And Starmer didn't even put him up on it. And Starmer's just the same.
Well, hang on. Sir Keir Starmer spoke... Sorry, David Lammy spoke after Sir Keir's speech, so I don't quite know how he would have been able to, quote, pull him up on it, Rudy, last
week. Well, to say things like what Nigel Farage pulled up, that he is putting people in danger by doing inflammatory language, and yet the language that Keir Starmer was using was the same kind of language that he had people put in prison for, you know, when they had that problem in Southport. It's the same thing, just different words.
Okay. Rudy, thank you. Always enjoy speaking with you. I'm going to mildly disagree with you agreeably, because the level of language that was used... And by the way, I'm not saying that that woman, from memory, Lucy Connolly, but don't quote me, I'm pretty certain it was Lucy Connolly. I'm not saying that the stretch she got was justified. Her language is appalling. I wouldn't for one moment be thought to support it. But it did seem a rather stiff sentence. But I don't think anything the Prime Minister said about Mr Farage went anywhere near that. And indeed, of course, Sir Keir did address that in his speech. Really grateful for your input. Thank you. Let's get a couple more. Here we go. Terry in Slough, I'm in my 70s. In my opinion, the Prime Minister is the worst I've seen, and I've seen some terrible ones. I wouldn't trust this Labour government to run a raffle, never mind this great country of ours. Charlie Stone in Bury, always good to hear from you, Miss Stone. Sir Keir speech, well done. Yesterday morning, the party membership stood at 252,367. This morning, it's 253,601. That's nearly £31,000. I suppose that's what the membership is. So you're saying more people have come to the party, which is obviously what they would want to hear. Now, there was, without doubt, during the speech, literally, and literally that's a word that's literally overused, a lot of flag waving.
Sir Keir Starmer says he wants to reclaim the Union and St George's flags. I'm Alex Taylor-Brown in York, where the council is starting to remove the flags which have been put up on lampposts.
Plus, there are other stories. The two-child benefit cap could be lifted. We'll give you full details of that in the next hour. 7.45, LBC News headlines. Thomas Watts.
Speaking to Nick, Sir Keir Starmer has insisted he is not obsessed with Nigel Farage after stepping up attacks on the Reform UK leader. There's growing speculation the two-child benefit cap could go in the budget, and many US federal services are grinding to a halt as a result of a government shutdown. LBC weather, fog clearing to leave sunny spells for many, cloudier further north, a high of 19 degrees.
LBC Travel, I'm Joanne Webb. Huge problems for the western stretch of the M25. It's closed clockwise at junction 14 at Heathrow. The investigation works are taking place. There are delays of over an hour from junction 10 at the A3. Also, anti-clockwise, it's slow from junction 17 at Maple Cross because of onlookers. And also, surrounding routes are hardly moving at all, especially the A30 via Staines. The A12 is very busy, southbound to junction 13 at Ingatestone following an accident. And in Epping Forest, Wood Ridden Hill is partially blocked both ways after an accident, and that's also causing lengthy delays. On the underground, there are minor delays on the central line between Leytonstone and Epping, and also to Hainold, and minor delays on the Jubilee line.
This is LBC. Listen on the move with the LBC app.
Angela Rippon, what are you doing here?
I've come to tell you about using energy flexibly, Albert.
Flexibly?
Yes, smart meter owners could get rewarded for moving their energy use, like doing the laundry at off-peak times.
So I don't need to do the splits?
No, Albert, nobody wants to see that.
Get rewarded for using energy flexibly, only with a smart meter. Search Get a Smart Meter today.
Eligibility and availability vary. Consumer action required. Reward schemes and tariffs available to selected customers from selected suppliers.
Call Nick Ferrari now. 0345 6060973. LBC.
When BP asked me to read the voiceover for their new Wild Bean Cafe ad, I thought I knew what to expect. But when they told me I'd be reading the script next to a mountain waterfall, on horseback, strumming a harp, in a hailstorm, naked, ow, 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 ow. Well, that was wildly unexpected. Just like Wild Bean Cafe having a freshly ground signature espresso blend for everything from Americanos to flat whites in a fuel station. Wowzers. Wild Bean Cafe, only at BP. Subject to availability at selected BP stores only.
Get them class ready with Samsung. Upgrade to the epic Galaxy S25 Ultra and get a free 14-inch Galaxy Chromebook Go worth £399. A laptop for study and streaming and a Galaxy AI-powered smartphone that effortlessly manages your everyday tasks. It's genius, really. Buy before the 2nd of October 2025 from a participating retailer. Claim from Samsung within 30 days of purchase. T's and C's apply.
A southern train is a place where family moments become more peaceful.
where you can spread out and a game of I Spy gets a scenic upgrade with snacks, stories and the occasional sheep for a bonus point. Less stress, more yes with kids tickets for £2 at southernrailway.com. Terms apply.
Big, big, big motoring world.
Wow, wow,
wow motoring world.
Yes, that's right. Big Motoring World is also Wow Motoring World because we price check our cars every day to guarantee you our best price with up to 95% of them below market value. Big Motoring World. We're big on what matters to you. See website for nearest store. Visit bigmotoringworld.co.uk or one of our stores for our price promise and terms and conditions.
At Pets in a Pickle, we're here when it matters most. For fuss-free pet insurance policies as unique as they are. Visit petsinapickle.co.uk.
Nick Ferrari at breakfast on LBC. Call 0345 6060973.
11 minutes before 8. When did you last do something that was patriotic? Keith, this is, of course, the theme that we heard from the Prime Minister, and I asked him what he'd done outside of ministerial duty. Keith says Keir Starmer wants to reclaim the flag, but there are flags being removed from bridges, lampposts and public property. Meanwhile, Lee in Watford says Starmer owned your ridiculous, petulant attitude and question. What did you do that was patriotic recently? Not sure. I suppose I support... Well, I did. I support, enormously supported the Red Roses. But then I'm not the Prime Minister banging on about patriotism and waving of flags. We'll have more of flag waving in just a moment. To Catherine in Muswell Hill, hit or miss for you yesterday what you heard from Sir Keir. Good morning, Catherine.
Morning, Nick. Neither. Particularly. Okay. I don't feel I've been hit or missed.
well, but I hope you won't be hit. and you'll always be missed, but, so there we go.
Well, thank you, that's very kind. Having said all of that, I'm wondering what your story is this morning, Nick. Is your story... Well, your headline, yep. You know, you want us to listen and not go on and do something else.
Of course.
At least for a bit.
Yeah, of course.
And it seems to me your story, your headline is... Prime Minister addresses conference and responds to clear political threat.
Right, yes. And
I haven't got a problem with that. Of course he's going to respond to a clear political threat. That threat is reform. We all know about that.
Right.
He has to say something about it.
Yeah, for some, reform is a hope rather than a threat. Obviously, for the Labour Party, it's a threat.
Politically speaking, it is a threat. You look at the polls, it's a threat.
Right. Why? Okay, if it's a party that's enjoying widespread support, why do you see that as threatening?
No, it's a threat to Labour's...
Oh, I see what you mean, to Labour. I'm so sorry.
Yes,
yeah, absolutely.
To Labour. So, yes, Prime Minister addresses conference, responds to clear political threat, discuss.
Okay.
We've been discussing it for the last 40 minutes. I'm feeling a bit weary.
But as Nigel Farage said afterwards, and I don't know whether you saw it was on social media and we'll be playing it a lot for you, it would seem that all the political parties... are obsessed with reform. Virtually every member of the cabinet either spoke about Farage personally or about Reform UK. Wasn't this the time to not even mention reform and to talk about what A, he has achieved, and what B, he will go on to achieve? Isn't that what the PM needed to do?
I actually think he did both of those things.
I think a lot of the
talking about Farage was in response to questions that were posed. You know, I heard Lammy being interviewed. I've heard a whole load of people being interviewed over the last couple of days. I wouldn't say it was an obsession. Like I say, it is a clear political threat. It has to be addressed. You can't pretend it's not there.
No, indeed. What were the achievements that Sir Keir mentioned yesterday afternoon that you would recall?
I don't feel a strong sense. You know, I voted Labour. I've voted Labour most of my life. Mm-hmm. I don't think there are a huge load of achievements. I'm not particularly impressed. Okay. And at the risk of, you know, more cliches already on a Wednesday morning, it's the economy, stupid.
Mm-hmm.
That's what's
not
make.
Going gangbusters either. Of course, growth
that
was
is not
down.
Going gangbusters. And when Rachel Reeves talks about global political headwinds, what exactly is she talking about? Global economic headwinds, I'm sorry. That, I thought, warranted more examination and discussion than this.
Are you...
Ultimately, that's what's going to make the... That's what's going to determine how we all vote.
Lastly, and having spent 24 hours or so in and among a lot of Labour supporters, there is, I think it's fair to say, a sense of disquiet at the moment. Are you happy with the way your party's running the country at the moment? Do you have major concerns? What would you say to them?
I think my major concern isn't about who they are as a party, although I do agree it is nice to have a political vision. I just think that's a lot of words. Ultimately, what matters is what translates to how people's lives are impacted. And in terms of economic policy, that is my biggest area of concern by a long, long, long way. I don't think Rachel Reeves is doing a brilliant job.
Okay. By the proverbial country mile, as they might say. Really enjoyed our conversation, Catherine. Thank you very much for your input. And again, register everything you say. And particularly interesting, as of course you are, as you say, a Labour voter with your concerns. We'll come back to the discussion concerning Nigel Farage and whether he's playing the man and not the ball or whatever. But another aspect, as I've mentioned a couple of times, was this flag waving. And the members of the cabinet, members of the cabinet given flags when they sat down. So these are fairly bright and well-educated people being forced to wave the sort of flags that you put in sandcastles down at the beach, whether it was the Union flag, whereas it was the Dragon of Wales or St George's Cross, whatever it was, Saltire, whatever it was. It was an odd look watching the Home Secretary, the Foreign Secretary, the Chancellor all having to wave little flags. But we decided we'd actually go to somewhere where Labour have actually insisted that flags are removed. LBC's Alex Taylor-Brown has been speaking with people in York. Joins me now. Alex.
Good morning, Nick. Yes, York, an area where the flags being raised has been a talking point over the last few weeks. They've appeared on lampposts in some of the outskirt areas, but also right here in the city centre, including leading up to the famous York Minster. And they've not all been removed as of yet. There are still some on those lampposts. And as you mentioned, Nick, a lot of flag waving taking place during Sir Keir Starmer's speech in Liverpool yesterday. The Prime Minister saying that the flags of all four nations belong to all of us. We will never surrender them. This is what he told the conference yesterday.
I can say I'm not just proud of the Union Jack and the Cross of St George. I'm also proud of the Saltire, of the Red Dragon, proud of our union, the astonishing relationship between our four great nations. Four different nations, yes. For four nations that time and again have been through fire together, built so much together, a country forged by the solidarity of working people. So let's fly all our flags, conference, because they're our flags. They belong to all of us, and we will never surrender them.
Now, there have been examples, Nick, of these flags being put up directly outside hotels, housing asylum seekers, not just here in York, but across parts of Yorkshire. There have also been examples of racist graffiti, including a well-loved Chinese takeaway that was graffitied earlier last month. Both universities say staff have faced harassment as well. The City of York Council, which is Labour-led, has said the flags have led to people in the community feeling threatened. So I've been speaking to some of the early risers in York this morning to see what they've made of the flags.
Everybody say it's racial, but I don't find it racial. It's just us representing our country.
Do you think Keir Starmer is a patriotic person?
I think Keir Starmer.
I think if it was just a case of showing pride in being British or anything like that, absolutely fine. But I don't think that that's the undertone. I don't think that's the message that's being sent by the flags. I think it's more of an intimidation tactic.
Well, as an immigrant, it makes me feel particularly unwelcome because, to me, it's a sign of nationalism.
Personally, I don't trust what Starmer is saying at this point in time. I've got absolutely no confidence in him as a Prime Minister. I think what he's been doing to the country at this current point in time is shameful because he's not doing it in an open or accepting manner. He's doing it in such a way that's instigating this kind of behaviour.
Now, Nick, the council is starting to take them down, but I don't know if you see this or not. Have a guess at how much they say it will cost to remove these flags from across York.
Alex Taylor-Brown reporting, 7:57. Let's come to some of your comments on social media and the texts as well. Lindsay said, you talked about the cabinet waving flags, saying that they're bright and well-educated. Are you suggesting only stupid people wave flags? No, Lindsay, I'm so sorry if it came. Of course I'm not. But I'm suggesting if you are quite uneducated, you went to Oxford or Cambridge, you are in charge of the Home Office or Work and Pensions or the Treasury, and you arrive and one of the Labour handlers says, oh, the Prime Minister wants you to wave this little plastic flag. I hope I would have said, thank you very much, I'm not going to do it. I just think this is puerile. I didn't come into politics to wave a plastic flag when I'm told to by the boss. I'm not going to do it. That's what I was trying to get across, Lindsay. Let's get one more call in. James in High Wycombe. James, hit or miss yesterday if we move away from the flags. Good morning.
Can I wave my hand halfway in the middle? I think for Keir Starmer's level of cardboard charisma, it was actually quite a good effort, and the crowd had certainly been told when to cheer.
They had,
yes. It was sort of random, responding like he just won a boxing match. But I really, you know, it, being objective, I thought your Labour caller was really fair, actually.
Yeah, I really enjoyed Catherine.
Most Labour admitting that, they're not doing very well because everything's so tribal. Look, from an objective perspective, did he get across anything that was going to give wow factor or kind of help Rachel Reeves? All I remember is Flagg and Farage, really, and I just think it's a bizarre way to operate, isn't it? Because you sort of direct people towards this guy that you're saying is the boogeyman, and then when they go and see him, I mean, whether you like or dislike Nigel Farage, he certainly isn't how they paint him to be. And have they learned nothing from Trump? You know, when they pointed people at Trump, someone tried to kill him, and that made him look like a hero, and he certainly isn't one. And now he's in power and doing some strange things, certainly, you know, yesterday's a good example. I don't think Farage is on the same spectrum as Trump, but they're trying to do that, and it's a failed tactic. So everything about it strategically for Labour failed, and that is a very worrying thing because it's his decision. Now, the thing that I want to point out to all the listeners here is, if you look at both the speeches, the one that Farage reacts with and the one that Starmer did, one was reading a teleprompter and one was speaking quite off the cuff. Mm. And that really, for me, is the telling bit. I think we need to hear more authenticity from Keir Starmer. That's the challenge to him. He just isn't authentic. He's less authentic than cardboard with a cut-out picture of a politician on it.
James, thoroughly enjoyed that as well. Gosh, we've hit a rich seam of great callers. Catherine, James, thank you. Many of you won't have seen Farage's response. We will be playing some of that to you. But let's move a little bit away from the conference. Coming up after the news, thanks again, James. How the two-child benefit cap could be lifted in next month's budget. Plus,
cries of racism as white students are barred from applying to a barrister work experience scheme. I'm Gillian Howard, employment law consultant, and I'll be speaking to Nick later in the show.
Plus, staying in the field of law, a Turkish asylum seeker who is being housed at one of those migrant hotels stabbed a man with a broken bottle outside a nightclub, but avoids jail. I'll give you more details and ask simply why. 8 o'clock news on LBC is next.
On your radio, on the LBC app, and
play LBC.
Leading Britain's conversation. This is LBC.
From Global's newsroom at 8 o'clock, Keir Starmer has told LBC that he is not at all obsessed with Nigel Farage. That's despite the Prime Minister's repeated attacks on the Reform UK leader in his speech to the Labour Party conference in Liverpool. Mr Farage has accused him of putting campaigners' safety at risk by encouraging the radical left. Nick Ferrari asks Keir whether that's true.
No, that's not the case. He says a lot of things that I don't agree with. I am concerned to make the argument, and I will, on behalf of the country that I love. I am deeply concerned about Reform because I think they will toxically divide our country and rip it apart. And I'm up for that fight because I think it is the fight of our time.
Sir Keir has also told LBC he wants to see his former deputy, Angela Rayner, back in frontline politics. There's growing speculation that Rachel Reeves could lift the two-child benefit cap in her budget. The Chancellor hasn't denied the reports, but says she won't commit to policies without explaining where the money is coming from. The Tories say it would be irresponsible and unfair to get rid of the limit. The US government has shut down after the Democrats refused to back a Republican spending plan. Non-essential federal workers will be sent home indefinitely, with some disruption expected at airports. Funding for services cut off at midnight. Charles Feldman is a journalist based in Los Angeles.
We're officially out of business, and that means that federal offices will be shut tomorrow. It means workers will be furloughed. It means that some people, according to President Trump, will actually be fired tomorrow because he's looking to use the closing of the government as a way of shedding even more workers.
Fewer adverts for unhealthy food and drink will be visible to children from today. A voluntary ban for ads on products like pizza and chocolate has taken effect ahead of a full crackdown next year. The Princess Royal has made a surprise visit to Ukraine. The trip was a show of solidarity with children and families impacted by the Russian invasion. In the city, the FTSE 100 is reopening at 93.50 after closing up 50 points yesterday. The pound buys $1.34 and a euro 14. LBC weather, any early fog clearing to leave sunny spells for many places, but cloudier with rain in northern parts of the UK. A high of 19 degrees. From Global's newsroom for LBC, I'm Thomas Watts.
Angela, rip
happen? What are you doing here?
I've come to tell you about using energy flexibly, Albert.
Flexibly?
Yes. Smart meter owners could get rewarded for moving their energy use, like doing the laundry at off-peak times.
So I don't need to do the splits?
No, Albert. Nobody wants to see that.
Get rewarded for using energy flexibly, only with a smart meter. Search Get a Smart Meter today.
Eligibility and availability vary. Consumer action required. Reward schemes and tariffs available to selected customers from selected suppliers.
This is LBC from Global, leading Britain's conversation with Nick Ferrari at breakfast.
Morning, 4 minutes after eight on Wednesday, October the 1st. Coming up in this hour, the two-child benefit cap could be lifted in the autumn budget. We'll give you more details on that. Plus, the asylum seeker who was housed at a migrant hotel, stabbing a man with a broken bottle, avoids jail. How come that would happen? Plus, we will come back to aspects of that speech, after which, of course, Deputy Prime Minister David Lammy went on the attack for Reform UK and Nigel Farage.
I will leave it for the public to come to their own judgments about someone who once flirted with Hitler Youth when he was younger. That is for the public.
2 hours later, he was back on the BBC.
He has denied it, and so I accept that he has denied it, and I would like to clarify that position because, in the end, the Prime Minister was keen for us to focus on the policies, not the individual.
I don't care what they say. They are obsessed, obsession with Nigel Farage. Plus, later in the show, how babies could be born without mothers after what's called an egg cell breakthrough.
Nick Ferrari at breakfast. Call 0345 6060 973. Text 84850. Nick Ferrari at breakfast on LBC.
It's reported this morning that the Chancellor in next month's budget... Yes, we're already in October. Where did this year go? Extraordinary. In next month's budget, we'll lift the two-child benefit limit as a key demand of Labour MPs and also campaigners trying to eradicate child poverty. The Chancellor and the Prime Minister both saying they expect to respond to recommendations of the Child Poverty Task Force at the budget, expecting to say the lifting of the two-child limit for universal credit and child tax credit would be an effective way to lift hundreds of thousands of children out of poverty. Now, this has been a live issue for some time, and you might remember in June of last year when Sir Keir Starmer joined me in the studio to take your calls. Remember then he was leader of His Majesty's opposition. He would said, and ultimately would become Prime Minister just a couple of weeks later. I did ask him during the phone-in whether his government, if he was successful, and of course he was, would lift the two-child cap on benefits.
If we come back to this two-child benefit, you know that Gordon Brown is opposed to this. The Archbishop of Canterbury, Angela Rayner, calls it obscene. Your colleague Jonathan Ashworth calls it heinous. Nigel Farage is ahead of this, of course. He would say that he would actually scrap the two-child benefit. Why are you behind Nigel Farage on this?
I think Nigel Farage accepts that he hasn't really funded any of his manifesto. And that's fine. If you don't fund your manifesto, you just say you can have anything you like or anything you think is important. We have taken the careful approach saying every single thing that we are putting in a manifesto is fully costed and fully funded. And we're going to say before the election the things that we can't afford to do because of the damage to our economy. This is a tough one. I know how strongly Gordon Brown feels about it, and I know why he feels strongly about it. But I think one of the problems in politics is that before an election, people say, I'm going to do A, B and C, and then after the election, they don't do it. I want to take a different approach. It's be honest with people and look them in the eye and say, look, before you vote, I'm going to tell you some of the things I can't do.
Interesting, isn't it? I mentioned the Archbishop of Canterbury and Angela Rayner, both of whom are out of their jobs since we last spoke. OK, let's get into the conversation. What would it actually mean? Michael Simmons, economics editor of The Spectator, joins me now. Michael, can I start by asking, there will be listeners who, obviously it doesn't affect their lives, so they're not fully cognizant with what it provides for. How does it work and what does it provide for? Michael, morning.
Morning. So it's quite simply, if you look at certain means tested benefits, so say universal credit, that has a child element. What the cap says is after your second child, so third and more child, you just that part of the benefit just no longer applies. So obviously it penalises larger families who are reliant on benefits.
How much is it worth? Do you happen to have the figures at hand?
Well, we know that lifting the cap would cost something like £3.5 billion. It's certainly enough to, you know, seriously increase families' incomes, which is, you know, why campaigners say that it would bring hundreds of thousands of children out of child poverty. Although they do rely on this relative poverty metric, which is certainly open to criticism.
Why is it such a hot political potato, Michael?
Well, I mean, it's quite simply not something that if you're a Labour MP, you'd be keen on. You know, this is something that does penalise children. It's not that we're saying, you know, that we're taking this benefit away from work-shy people or people who have been in unemployment for ages. This obviously affects children. So it's something that's... you know, hard to justify, especially if you're of the left. But I think, on the other hand, you know, the Conservatives would make the argument that, you know, taxpayers that are out there hardworking, paying for their own families, should not have to support larger families where, you know, the parents are not able to support their own kids.
To those who would say, why are we paying people to have children? Why don't they pay for children themselves? What would be the response?
Well, I think the response there is twofold. Is one, we shouldn't be penalising, you know, the children. The children didn't choose to be born. So I think that's, you know, a fair argument. There's also this argument that, you know, Britain's fertility rate is down below that replacement rate. So this is part of the why we have such a large problem with the ageing society, not enough people coming into the workforce to pay the taxes, to pay for the state pension, etc., etc. So there's an argument that you don't want to penalise people having large families. But that's hard to set against, you know, the fiscal position that the Chancellor finds herself in, where, you know, is she going to be able to pay for any of this? These are difficult things to balance.
Lastly, Michael, moving you a little way out of the economics brief to the political brief, are there votes in this?
Yes. I mean, I think it's one of these things where Labour backbenchers are so keen on it that there's going to be so much stick from this budget in terms of in tax rises, potentially spending restraint. I think Rachel Rees will feel that she doesn't have a choice but to offer this, you know, to her backbenchers so that they at least get one win against everything else.
Michael Simmons is economics editor of The Spectator. Grateful for your input. Thank you. 11 after 8. Dan Paskins, listening, executive director for policy, advocacy and campaigns at Save the Children UK, joins me now. Mr. Paskins, what would be the impact, do you imagine, in an attempt to eradicate child poverty? Good morning.
Good morning, Nick. So we are really excited about this news. It's something we've been campaigning about for a long time. It's something which the families we work with tell us it's not going to be life-changing amounts of money, but it's a real practical help to be able to afford some of the basics. So, you know, going into winter, you know, needing a new coat for the winter, new shoes, not having to skip meals, you know, the sort of pressures which many families are facing. And it will help nearly 1.7 million children at a time when currently child poverty in this country is rising. So it's really positive. Sort of step forwards.
You're quoted in the Guardian newspaper saying time is ticking for Britain's children. What do you mean by that, Mr. Paskins?
So the every day child poverty is increasing in this country, and this has been happening for many years now. And just because of this two-child limit, over 100 children every day are moving into poverty.
So 100 every day, did you say?
100 every day, yeah.
Good Lord.
Child poverty is increasing just because of this one single policy. So the government's trying to do lots of other things. Obviously, families are doing their best. But just this one policy on its own is making this problem worse. And the government promised.
Sorry. I mean, that is a shock. No, excuse me, Mr. President. That is a shock. How are we defining poverty in this instance, then?
So this is using the sort of official measure that this government and previous governments has used. So looking at the amount of money which families get relative to the average family.
But how much is it? What is the line at which you're on the poverty level?
So it's below 60% of the average.
Sorry, but what is the average wage? That's what I'm trying to get at here. Do you happen to know? If not, I can find out.
No, I didn't know.
Okay, all right. So don't worry, that's for my team to do. Has the government moved fast enough on this?
This is something which has been well known. Obviously, as your clip showed, it's been debated for a long time. It was something we were hoping they'd do it as soon as they got into power. What they did do, though, is as soon as they got into power, they set up a task force. They said, we're going to look at all different ways of helping children. And this task force has been looking at lots of different measures, and it's about to report back. It's been a bit delayed. And all the people who have looked at this, looked at, you know, all different ways of helping children, they have all said this policy has to change. It's not enough on its own. there needs to be help with childcare, there needs to be help with rent, there needs to be help with increasing wages, supporting families in lots of different ways. But if you don't get rid of this policy, this is going to be the first ever Labour government that increases child poverty. Okay. And that is something which Labour MPs and others do not want to do, and that's why we're hoping they'll take the decision and scrap the two-child limit.
OK. And just lastly, no limit at all, i.e. do you limit it at 4, 5, 6? No limit whatsoever?
So what we say is this is a payment based on the needs of children. So rather than setting some other arbitrary number, it's best to provide the money so every child gets the best start in life. Nearly all families who benefit have 3 or 4 children. Most are in work. There are lots who are disabled. So, there are a very sort of small number of cases. But overwhelmingly, this is a change that will help people who are in low-paid work, out of work because of disability, things like that. 3 children, 4 children, it's going to make a massive difference and it's going to get child poverty down.
But it's going to cost, of course. You know, where is the money going to come from?
Well, I'm sure that is something which the clever people at the Treasury are looking at right now. The former Prime Minister Gordon Brown's suggested taxing gambling companies. There's a range of different ideas about what to do. And the other thing is that we know there's been years and years of cuts for support for children. And what happens then is you have to pay more money for poor health. You have fewer young people going into work. You have less school. So there's no easy choices to this money. Either you pay to help children, and there is a cost to that, of course there is, or you pay over the long term much larger sums of money because of what happens when children grow up in poverty.
Grateful for your time. Dan Paskins, thank you. You're Executive Director for Policy, Advocacy and Campaigns at Save the Children UK. One of my colleagues has just done some sums. We're talking roughly around £18,000 per annum, below which you are deemed to be on the poverty line. Roughly around £18,000 a year. So bringing up baby, even paying... for people to have more children. It's the right thing to do because, of course, ultimately they will be the taxpayers. Or if you're going to have children, should you be able to afford a coat for them? We'll look at that. Plus, coming up after the news, the terrorist hotel migrant, found in a courtroom as a terrorist, hotel migrant who stabbed a man with a broken bottle but won't go to jail. He'll have more after this. 8:15, LBC News headlines. Thomas Watts.
The Prime Minister's told Nick that he's not at all obsessed with Nigel Farage, despite a Labour conference dominated by attacks on the Reform leader. There is growing speculation Rachel Reeves could lift the two-child benefit cap in the budget this autumn, and the US government's shut down after the Democrats refused to back a Republican spending plan. LBC weather, fog clearing to leave sunny spells for many places, a high of 19 degrees.
LBC Travel, I'm Joanne Webb. The M25 remains closed clockwise at Junction 14 at Heathrow. It's because of an accident. The investigation works are taking place. There are severe delays of over an hour from Junction 10 at the A3, and also anti-clockwise, it's slow from 17 at Maple Cross because of onlookers. All the surrounding routes are extremely congested, including the A30. There's been an accident on the North Circular Road westbound right near to the Neasden interchange. That's causing delays from Staples Corner. In Epping Forest, there's been an accident on Wood Ridden Hill. It's about halfway between the M25 and the Wake Arms roundabout, and that's causing delays. And on the Underground, there are minor delays on the Jubilee line.
This is LBC.
It's the last chance to get yourself a ticket for tonight's Lotto draw.
It could be you.
Lotto. From the National Lottery. Rules and procedures apply. Players must be 18 or over.
Call Nick Ferrari now. 0345 6060 973. LBC.
Across the UK, people like Phil face their toughest challenges alone.
It's a pain that I feel like the body can't comprehend losing a child because you are not supposed to outlive your children.
LBC's charity, Make Some Noise, is here to support people like Phil.
It's kind of a family that you never wanted to be a part of and you would never choose to be a part of it. But now you're in it, you don't know what you'd do without.
You can change lives. Donate now at makesomenoise.com. Proudly supported by Furniture Village.
The McDonald's breakfast wrap. We could give you a delicious description, but instead, we'll just say that you can now play the Monopoly game at McDonald's with a breakfast wrap. Go on, it's your go. Served until 11 a.m. Subject to availability. Game ends 21st of October. App may be required. 18 plus. UK. See mcdrules.co.uk.
A Thames Link train is a place where family moments become more peaceful. Where you can spread out and a game of I Spy gets a scenic upgrade. With snacks, stories, and the occasional sheep for a bonus point. Less stress, more yes, with kids' tickets for £2 at thameslinkrailway.com. Terms apply.
When you go abroad, everyone knows the best way to make yourself understood is to say everything in English, but louder.
Four beers, please, garçon!
Just like when you amplify your advertising with radio. 40 million listeners every week get the message. See radio differently at radiocentre.org.
Nick Ferrari at breakfast. Call 0345 6060973.
Coming to you, Mike, for the call on the idea of lifting this two-child benefit. Pete says... I'm so sorry, I misread that. Oh, yes, Pete. Pete says, getting children out of poverty is admirable. But what about the parents who use the money for cigarettes, booze or drugs? I hope this is going to be paid for by big companies that pay little tax and the super rich. But I'll bet it's going to be more tax for the hard-working middle. Pete, I think you're... probably about right, though. And, of course, well, if you give people money, you can't legislate for how they spend it. This is a politician's answer, isn't it? Will some parents use it to buy coats for their children and shoes and food? Yes. Will some parents use it to play bingo or whatever it might be, buy booze? Yep, undoubtedly they will. Ryan in South Wales, most are not in work. Most people are in these situations have not thought about things or future costs. We all know and can assume where the money is coming from. People like me, people who work... people who can't have anything themselves. So there is a degree of resentment. And if you actually go back to that point I put to one of my contributors there, why should we pay people to have more children? Is it so wrong to limit it to two? In as much as if you want to have five children, fantastic. Go for your life. Great. Enjoy. Busy Christmases, birthdays, Hanukkahs, whatever it might be. Amazing. But why should all of us pay if we accept that two would seem to be, if you're fortunate enough to be in a loving relationship and fortunate enough to be able to have children, why do you need more than two? Mike's in Bolton. Mike, your reaction. Good morning.
Morning, Nick. I think Pete's kind of stolen my thunder, I guess. I was
go ahead. Sorry, sir. No, go ahead. No, I want to hear what you want to say.
Well, I live in Bolton, and like most northern towns, it's not in the best of places. And when I drive to work, I see... families walking to school.
Yep.
And you see a real mixed bag of people, and you know, there'll be parents that are absolutely grafting and doing the best for the children, but yep. You see some parents and you think, wow, what chance in life has that child got? Mm. And you know, I'm probably being seen as being a little bit judgmental, but that's the way we are, I guess.
Tell me what you see. Paint a word picture. As you drive through Bolton or whichever part of the city you live in, tell me something that you might see today that underscores the points you're making.
Neglect. You know, there's parents, they don't seem engaged with the children walking to school. And you just think, have you got a job? What do you do for a living? And listen, it's very difficult, and I'm sure people will jump all over me now, but you just see it in children. You think, what chance have these kids got in life? They need support. But you touched on it then as well. I'm a big believer. If you can't afford to have children, then you shouldn't have children. And if you've got them, obviously do your best for them. But I just think, as Pete said, I think a good number of people will use it for cigarettes, drinking, drugs, whatever they do, and not necessarily being given to the children that desperately need it.
I don't see it's wrong to limit it at two children. We are in tough times. This is thought to cost an additional £3.5 billion. As Pete and others have said, you know who'll be paying that. That's you, me, Mike in Bolton, and that's me down here in London. We're the ones who are going to pay for this, you know.
Well, I think everything our governments do, it's what they get for the pound they spend, and they tell us they're spending a million or a billion or whatever it is. And, you know, there'll be some company or some individual somewhere that will benefit from the ridiculous government spending that... they've no idea. They're not on the street. You know, if you put somebody from a private business background into government or into the NHS or any of these places where they have to spend money, they'd say, how much is that? You're having a laugh, aren't you?
Yeah.
Go and have a rethink, because that's where a lot of our money is going missing, being overspent on nonsense, paying too much for it and not getting value for money. And then poor children suffer as part of that.
Mike, the drive you'll have through Bolton, I think you speak not just for Bolton, I think you speak for much of Britain. Safe travelling to you, Mike, and thanks for the views you make. Let's pick up a little bit more on social media. This from, I just want to check I can read your name. Yep, Paul. I would have liked three or four children. I couldn't afford it, but now apparently I'll have to work out how to afford to pay for someone else to have more children. Similar theme here from Rob. Bayliss, I'd love a garage full of classic cars and motorbikes. Will the government help me with maintaining them, seeing as I don't have any children? Charlotte's in Harrow. Harlow. Charlotte in Harlow. You're on the radio. Good morning.
Morning, Nick.
Is it right to lift this cap?
No, it's not, I don't think.
Tell me why.
I'm a working mother. My husband and I both work full-time. We both have really good salaries, but I couldn't possibly imagine being able to have a third child that I really, really want, because we just can't afford it with the crisis of living and everything. And, our mortgage is up for renewal. That's probably the same house that we've got now is probably going to be £600 more just to keep it. I just think it's really, really unfair.
An extra £600 a month, do you mean, or a year?
Yeah, no, a month.
A month. My God.
To keep our house.
Wow.
Yeah, we were really lucky. We our last mortgage, we had a 1.something% mortgage.
Oh, gosh. Whoa, that's brilliant.
And now we're looking at a really scary hike. And I get really angry. I can see the reasons why some people can say that, why it's a good thing. And of course, some children don't have an upbringing that we'd all want people to have. And I completely understand that. But I think it's going to incentivise the wrong behaviours. If the goal is to help people have more children, then there are so many people that could be able to do that right now if the cost of living wasn't so, ridiculous.
Let's put to you lastly, Charlotte, a point that Mike made as he drives through Bolton, and it could be that you have to find it. I hope you get a better deal, but that's a heck of a lot of fine, next 600. And you will see some people, to use Mike's expression, who are not behaving responsibly, pushing their children off to school and effectively getting more in benefits. How would that make you feel, Charlotte?
It would just make me feel really, really angry, because everyone wants to be able to have, I think, a simple life, a life that they're enjoying, and children are a massive, massive part of that. And I think it pains me. I would love to have another child. I'd love to have two more children, but I want to do it responsibly. I wouldn't dream of bringing another baby into our family if it meant that my other children would go without, or that we'd be managing, we'd be really struggling and then not enjoying the life that we have. And
Charlotte, I hope you get a better mortgage deal. I think that word responsible, I think you said responsibly, but the word responsible or responsibility is such a key expression. Charlotte, best wishes to you. And as I say, God, I hope you get a bill, an extra, my goodness. I'm thinking of when I used to pay mortgage. I mean, that's a mortgage in and of itself, just the increase. Right, back to that in a moment. But I have mentioned, 8:26, a story. The Turkish asylum seeker who was staying at a migrant hotel stabbed a man with a broken bottle outside a nightclub. Halil Dal, who was 30, was seen on camera smashing the glass bottle against a wall before attacking the man from behind. No explanation was given for the attack, other than he was, quote, in drink at the time. Magistrates called at Paul was told Dal had fled Turkey because he faced persecution for his politics. He claimed he'd been accused by Turkish police for being in a terror group, tortured and forced to become an informant. He admitted a charge of assault occasioning ABH, which is actual bodily harm, given a suspended prison sentence. Paul Turner, immigration barrister to be found at Imperium Chambers, joins me now. This is quite a violent crime. Are you surprised that it seems quite a lenient sentence? Good morning, Mr. Turner.
Good morning, Nick. Yes, I looked at it yesterday. It was 24 weeks suspended for 18 months. Firstly, it's a actual bodily harm, plus it involved a sharp object that could have led to far more serious consequences. And to find that the individual was essentially not going to spend a day in prison did come to me as a bit of a shock.
What happens with him afterwards? Presumably there's no deportation then?
No, at the moment, because the sentence was under 12 months in imprisonment, there's no automatic deportation. It will be a matter for the government to consider whether, given the nature of this offence, he should be subject to deportation proceedings. However, Nick, and this may come as a bit of a surprise or a shock, it could be said that asylum trumps deportation. So at the moment, he has an asylum claim, so he cannot be removed, even if the government was minded to remove him. And he cannot be removed during the entire process while his application is being considered. So he'll be housed, he'll receive all the benefits that he's entitled to, until his claim's decided. And you're probably thinking at the end of that, once it's refused, can he be removed then?
Yes.
And the answer would be no, not during the course of any appeal. And at the moment, appeals are taking about a year to be considered. So In reality, there's no prospect of him going anywhere for potentially a year or a year and a half.
So, lastly, this is someone, as you rightly say, effectively attacks someone with a bladed implement or bladed article, and we can't put him out of the country.
No, and what will make it even worse, Nick, is if he wins his asylum appeal, he will never be removed from the United Kingdom to Turkey. If he goes on to stab another 5 or 10 people or commit other crimes, if he's found to be at risk in Turkey, he will be the UK's problem.
Paul, enjoy speaking with you. I know you've got an appointment to get to, so I'll leave it there. Paul Turner, thank you. You're an immigration barrister. You can be found at Imperium Chambers. Seems to be speaking a lot of sense. Isn't that incredible? I mean, very, very lucky this bloke didn't die, having been attacked with a broken bottle. And we can't ship him out of the country. And Keir Starmer says the country isn't broken, or we are broken. I think we are a bit broken there, aren't we, Prime Minister? 8:29. Andrew's in Medway. To lift or not to lift? That is the question, the two-child benefit cap. What would you say, Andrew? Good morning.
Well, I'd like to make something even more simpler.
Go ahead.
About just giving half with vouchers and half with money, if that's the line we've got to go down. And that way the kids actually get clothes for vouchers, bit of food and stuff like that. I mean, the parents can do whatever they want to do with the rest of the money themselves. You know, it just seems to government seems to complicate everything. It's really simple, I think.
Well, it is, but then there's the case of Charlotte, who would love to have another child, if not two more children, but it's not responsible. She simply can't afford it. So is it right that you and I, if you're in work at the moment, and Charlotte's taxes are going to pay for this?
No, I can see that angle, but I mean, everything in this country seems to be complicated, and governments need to simplify things, and that's the problem we have.
Make it simple, says Andrew. Thank you for that. We'll take more calls on this. Ahmed, you'll be the next caller. Plus, after the news...
Cries of racism as white students are barred from applying to a barrister work experience scheme. I'm Gillian Howard, employment law consultant, and I'll be speaking to Nick later in the show.
That's coming up. It's 8:30 now. You're listening to Breakfast with me, Nick Ferrari, here on LBC. And it is news time with Thomas Watts.
Sir Keir Starmer has told Nick that he is not obsessed with Nigel Farage after stepping up his attacks on Reform UK. The Prime Minister used his speech to Labour's conference yesterday to say the Reform leader doesn't like Britain. There is growing speculation the two-child benefit cap could be scrapped in the budget. The Chancellor hasn't denied the reports but says she won't commit to policies without explaining where the money's coming from. Many US federal services are set to grind to a halt as a result of a government shutdown. Federal funding was cut off midnight after senators failed to pass a last-minute spending bill in a row over healthcare. LBC weather, sunny spells for many places today, cloudy with heavy rain in northern areas. A high of 19 degrees.
LBC.
For GCSE and A-level success, one name stands out. Justin Craig. Small, tailored group tuition that really works. Justin Craig courses consolidate knowledge, boost confidence and improve technique for mocks, assessments and exams. Available in classrooms and online. One-to-one also available. With over 40 years experience, Justin Craig has helped more than 100,000 students. For more details, visit justincraig.ac.uk. Justin Craig. Tailored for you.
At ulisprosperity.com, you buy the car and we pay you up to £600 per month in rental income. For conditions, visit ulisprosperity.com.
Get them class ready with Samsung. Upgrade to the epic Galaxy S25 Ultra and get a free 14-inch Galaxy Chromebook Go worth £399. A laptop for study and streaming and a Galaxy AI-powered smartphone that effortlessly manages your everyday tasks. It's genius, really. Buy before the 2nd of October 2025 from a participating retailer. Claim from Samsung within 30 days of purchase. T's and C's apply.
Imagine a delicious patty nestled between two buns with cheese and ketchup. It's not a burger. That patty is actually sausage, which makes this a sandwich. A breakfast sausage sandwich. The new £1.99 sausage sandwich from McDonald's. Made with RSPCA assured pork. Until 11 a.m. Price and participation may vary. Upcharges and fees apply to delivery. Subject to availability.
Nick Ferrari at breakfast. Call 0345 6060973.
Let's get back in and among those calls. Julia's in Reading. Julia, where are you on lifting the benefit cap, right or wrong, in your view? Good morning.
I think it's wrong to lift it. Myself, I have two biological children, and I'm a foster carer, mm-hmm. and I'm a single person. Right. And I did get benefits to help top up my wages, but I always felt very guilty, and I always worked. And I agree with the other caller that, you know, give them the two-cap benefit, but also give them food vouchers or clothing vouchers. That way you know that the vouchers are going to go onto the children and not anywhere else, as in, you know, drugs, alcohol and cigarettes.
But why should we pay other people to have children that perhaps they can't afford?
No, I think it's right to keep it at two, because there's always been family allowance for two children, one child. So I think it's right to just keep it at the two. But I think any more than that, I know people that have got like seven children and never worked a day in their life. And I just think if you can't afford to have them, don't have them, you know. It's just logical.
Well, it's what Charlotte said earlier, isn't it? It's being responsible, or a degree of responsibility, isn't it? That's the reality, Julia.
Yes, definitely.
Look after yourself, Julia. Thanks for the stories that you tell. Just getting someone put some figures here. Child benefit currently provides for, as of this year, £25.60 each week for the eldest or only child, and then £16.95 a week for each additional child is what child benefit is. Now, the two-child benefit cap or limit means about £3,500 per year per child, but obviously only up to two children. To increase that, to drop the cap, as it were, and to increase the level, is going to cost the country somewhere in the region of £3.5 billion. James is in Fleet. The point you want to make, James. Good morning.
Good morning, Nick. I think it's a good sentiment, but the wrong strategy. So we need to grow the population. We need to produce children that will be economically productive. Mm-hmm. And I know what I'm going to say is probably going to be unpopular, but I'm suspicious that those who will be benefiting from benefit, you know, releasing the benefit cap, will not be the most economically productive children that we could encourage. And I think a tax relief for parents who are having third and onwards children would be a better strategy to produce children that will be economically productive and, you know, help us to fund pensions that we can't afford in the future and so on and so forth.
How would that work?
Well, I mean, you know, you get tax credits for various things, and I think offsetting some of your income tax against a child credit would be a reasonable thing to do. I mean, you know, it's something that benefits the country. Why would you not encourage people to do that? Benefits is the wrong way to go about it. It incentivizes people to have children they can't afford, and unfortunately we can't cope with that anymore.
I don't think we can. I don't know if we know if we can take another £3.5 billion on the Treasury. James, thank you. Martin in Leeds, the benefit limit should be kept at two. My son has three children. He works damn hard every day and he earns a good wage. Their mother works part-time. They spread the care of the children. They've never claimed a penny on benefits. Why should other people just have children just to claim benefits? It should stay at two. Ash says, I think the government has no idea how much money this will cost in the long run. Some cultures choose to have four, five, six children. Why should I and many others pay for this? I work in an NHS environment. I don't know what that means. I see firsthand how much of a burden these children and parents can be. Most parents who have more than two children are on benefits, and they just get on a downward spiral. Stacey in Enfield. Stacey, the point you want to make. Good morning.
Hi, Nick. I'm a massive fan. I'm so happy to be speaking to you this morning. I'm a bit conflicted. I am a child who was brought up completely on benefits, paid for by the British taxpayer. Mm-hmm. However, I've become really highly educated. I've bought my own house, and brilliant. I think I've been a bit of a success story, if that's how you define success.
Brilliant. Well done.
And I am very thankful for you know, the help and all the benefits I had. However, I am now in a position where I don't feel as if I could actually have children and afford to have them. And I don't think it's responsible for me to go and do that, because I'm paying a mortgage, I'm paying a tax, and I just don't think I could even afford the childcare. So I think it's really unfair for someone like me to have to fund the irresponsible decisions of some people who perhaps maybe shouldn't have had children if they can't afford them, if they don't have a, you know, a housing situation. I just think it's deeply unfair. And I think that perhaps going down the route of having vouchers, giving people vouchers, might be the right thing to do. I mean, my own parents spent the money on the correct things, food, clothes, you know, they were being responsible with the benefits that they got.
Mm.
But what I'm concerned about is many people who might go on and just use the money to feed their five pit bulls, cigarettes, and you know what I mean, Nick, I am just a bit concerned about that, and I don't think I should be funding irresponsible choices and actions of other people. I don't think they're entitled to my taxes, essentially.
If I might.
I'm being a hypocrite.
No, not at all. How many siblings did you have, or do you have?
So there's three of us. We've all gone on to have jobs. We're paying back into the tax system. My brother's bought a house as well. We're all paying back. I'm concerned that maybe some of the people that I might now be paying for would not be productive.
I agree.
I just wonder.
Was your dad in work or not?
No, my parents got divorced and there was a big, they've got split up. My mum, and I do understand, Nick, that some people's situations do change and perhaps they would need some benefits. But, and it's really hard, you know, it'd be on a case-by-case basis, wouldn't it? But I am concerned because now I'm in a position where I don't think it's responsible for me to have children, but they would be, you know, taken care of. They would be educated. I'd help them with their homework. I'd take them to after school. You know, they'd be productive. I just know they would be.
Lastly, have you reconciled yourself to the fact then that you might never have children, or are you hoping that you might get a different job or get a promotion or change industries or whatever?
I think I will have one because I think I will just try my best, Nick.
Yeah.
But, you know, if I'm then having to fund the family of five down the road, I think it's really unfair. I think I am conflicted.
Stacey, thank you for telling the story. Best wishes to you and, of course, your family and your siblings, and well done. That is, I totally agree with you. It's an absolute success story. 20 minutes before nine. Michael's in, where are you? Brentwood. Michael, you're on the radio. Good morning.
Morning.
Hello, sir.
Aren't we lucky to get all these good people and not the bad people who phone up and how successful they are? How wonderful. I'm the eldest of five.
Yeah.
My mum had, money for each of us. We all work, all our kids work, all of that, but that isn't what I wanted to say.
Go on.
The fact is, the country needs a higher birth rate. And when people phone up and say, if you can't afford babies, you shouldn't have them, people aren't having them. That's why we have the low birth rate. And we can either pay for children to get a good start in life, to get into school, to not have parents stressed out and worried about where the next food or clothes are coming from, or we can import workers later on, and all the problems that comes with Farage and all the people marching because we have too many people in the country. One end or the other, we're going to be paying for it.
Well, hang on.
So if we want control, we pay for children.
Why? I don't understand why. Why can't the parents pay for the children themselves?
Well, the fact is that right now, if they can't afford it, they're not having it. And we have a really low birth rate. And if we keep that low birth rate up, we have to import workers to pay the taxes for the old people that we're all becoming.
But what would you say to Mike in Bolton and to Stacey, whom we just spoke with, and Charlotte, who said that they see these families, in some instances, with four or five children, neither parent are working? Why are we paying for all those children?
But there's always going to be a small minority of that.
It's not a small minority, Michael. Come on, Nick.
Come on, it's not everybody.
If I took you down Brentwood High Street now, you don't think we'd see folk like that in your high street?
But of course we would. You'd probably see some of that everywhere. But it's not the majority, Nick. It's really not. The majority of people on benefits work. You know that's true. You know, and I know that you're honest enough to say that is true.
You may well be right.
65% of people on Universal Credit work.
Yeah. Okay, yeah, they get top-ups, absolutely.
So we're not talking about the majority of people who are feckless. And what I'm saying is the country needs the babies. So if you don't want to pay for the babies, people aren't going to have them, and we carry on down this spiral. This is not the way to success.
Lastly, to those who would say it's jolly difficult to get seen in a hospital, it's impossible really to buy a house, and you want to have yet more people, those don't add up, do they, Michael?
But they never have done, Nick. And the problem there isn't that you should have fewer people, it's that you should build more infrastructure.
Right.
And that also builds the economy.
Michael, thank you. It's a different view. Have a good day down in Essex. Let's see if others agree. John in Fleet. John, you're on the radio. Your view. Good morning.
Yeah, hi, Nick. Michael, I think, stole a little of my thunder on that point, but I think his conclusion is slightly different to mine. So he was right in saying that we either have to have more babies or import. people in form of immigration. I think we've seen recently that people aren't happy with the levels of immigration that we've got. Mm-hmm. So that leaves the first option. But what one question I would ask is, why is it now that we have, as Michael said, 60-odd percent of people, I think you said, claiming universal credit are working?
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, yeah. So why is it that the that we seem to be, or at least the government seems to be happy, that the taxpayer is subsidising employers to pay low wages to the point where people can't afford to raise a family on one or two wages even?
Right.
And no one seems to be shouting about that. It just seems to be accepted that, you know, okay, we're working, but, you know, employers are getting away with paying low wages to the point where, I mean, this never used to happen. You know, I can remember in the 90s, I think it was, my dad getting, like, in 1 year, he had three pay rises.
Right.
Because of the rate of inflation. You know, and I think now, I can't imagine any employer sort of sanctioning that, certainly not the company I work for.
John, thank you. Only finishing to get more people on. Good luck with the work you're in. Richard Beale simply says, your callers are all fascists. Isn't it interesting, Mr. Beale, if you don't agree with someone, they're either a fascist or they're racist. You can't tolerate their argument. Extraordinary. The person who suggested tax relief, this is Philip. Simply says, the idea of tax relief is brilliant. I think that, Philip, you're right, I think that's a tremendous idea. So we're not going to pay you to have your children, but if you're in employment, you will get tax breaks. Now that, I think, has merit. Chris is in Wigan. Chris, you're on the radio. Your view. Morning.
Hi, Nick. When this was brought in by the Conservatives, I was completely in agreement with it. I thought that's a sensible approach to take.
Mm.
Why should we pay for the three? If you can't afford the children, don't have the children.
Yep.
But the reality is that there's children now born into into poor families,
right,
who haven't got enough money and you know, got child poverty. So my opinion has changed over those years, that I think, right, that I think it was a good idea. I think it was sensible. I think the majority of the public would agree with it.
Agree with the cap or lifting the cap? I'm confused.
Agree with the cap when it first, right, came in, but I think the reality is different now.
Right.
And I am conflicted over it. I am conflicted. I don't think it's a very... I don't think it's...
No, it's not,
say,
it's not easy.
So just spend it on cigs and booze. I don't think it's as simple as that.
Right. But to the idea that if you can't afford children, don't have them, isn't there some reality to that?
Absolutely, yeah. But like I said, I'm conflicted, Dick.
Well, what do you hope you hear next month? What would you want to hear on this lastly, Chris?
I think they're going to have to lift it. I think they should lift it. I think there's lots of child poverty with the cost of living crisis is an enormous thing, and the child doesn't choose to be born into poverty.
No, that is the reality. That is a very, very sage observation, Chris. I have to leave it there. Thank you. Coming up after news, we will come back to party conferences. And as one of my colleagues pointed out yesterday, nothing has really changed in the field of party conferences. In that for 50-plus, God knows how many years, decades, the party faithful have trooped to Blackpool or Brighton or Liverpool or whatever, and they've been addressed by the party leader and they've cheered and done whatever they have. But someone has brought a change, because within minutes of Keir Starmer embracing his wife and walking off the stage to cheers, Reform UK leader Nigel Farage popped up on social media.
It has been obsessive, whether it's the Home Secretary, whether it's the Health Secretary. It is a constant attack on me.
And we'll look at this, what I believe to be mild obsession, later in the show. It's 8:47, LBC News headlines then, Thomas Watts.
Speaking to Nick, Sir Keir Starmer has insisted he is not obsessed with Nigel Farage after stepping up attacks on the Reform UK leader. There's growing speculation the two-child benefit cap could go in the budget, and many US federal services are grinding to a halt as a result of a government shutdown. LBC weather, fog clearing to leave sunny spells for many, cloudier further north, a high of 19 degrees.
LBC Travel, I'm Joanne Webb. The M25 remains closed clockwise at Junction 14 at Heathrow because of an accident. Long delays now back to Junction 9 at Leatherhead. There was also an accident in the queue, although all the lanes are back open. Anti-clockwise, it's slow from 17 at Maple Cross and all the surrounding routes are hardly moving at all. Now elsewhere, the traffic on the A2 is being held westbound just after the South Circular Road junction, and that's now causing delays back to the M25. Waterloo Bridge is blocked northbound because a bus has broken down. No traffic can get through at all. And in Epping Forest, very busy on Woodridden Hill between the Wake Arms roundabout and the M25 after an accident.
This is LBC.
In the UK, there are more than 3 million lost pensions.
Find us.
At AJ Bell, we're on a mission to reunite you with yours. In fact, every time we track down a pension, we ring a bell. It's really quite fun. If you love the sound of bells, it's definitely not a little annoying. Can we turn the music up a bit? These bells are doing my head in. Open an account today and let us help find your long-lost pensions. AJ Bell. Feel good investing. Pension criteria apply. The value of your investments can go down as well as up.
Call Nick Ferrari now. 0345 6060973. This is LBC.
Play Set for Life from the National Lottery. Winners get 10K every month for 30 years. You could win on repeat. Set for Life. Play now on the National Lottery app. Terms, rules and procedures apply. Players must be 18 or over.
Amazon Prime Big Deal Days are the 7th and 8th of October. 2 days of big deals on electronics, home, kitchen and more. That'll make you feel less like... and more like... feel like a big deal. Amazon Prime Big Deal Days are the 7th and 8th of October, exclusively for Prime members. Join Prime now.
Stayshore. What is Stayshore? Stayshore is not just the UK's favourite travel insurance. Stayshore is the confidence that comes with knowing that you're covered by the company with more 5-star reviews on Trustpilot than any other provider. A company that welcomes people of all ages with pre-existing medical conditions for single or multiple trips. So Stayshore with Stayshore Travel Insurance. UK's favourite relates to number of 5-star Trustpilot reviews, T's and C's and verifications at stayshore.co.uk/reviews.
At ulizprosperity.com, you buy the car and we pay you up to £600 per month in rental income. For conditions, visit ulezprosperity.com.
Running a ceramic studio is all about balance, right, Nina?
Absolutely. That's why my business deserves the new iPhone 17 Pro. It can help me handle even the busiest workday, from planning my classes to keeping my kiln on track, so my business still holds shape.
The all-new iPhone 17 Pro? As pro as your work demands. Your business deserves the most powerful iPhone on EE, the UK's best network. BT and EE, better for business.
Verify at ee.co.uk/claims.
Nick Ferrari at breakfast on LBC. Call 0345 6060973.
Time to scrap the cap. We'll come back to that debate in a moment. 9 minutes before nine. Well, this headline screams out for one of the papers this morning. White intern applicants barred by the Bar, the Bar Council, which acts for barristers in England and Wales. The idea that white students cannot get on a barrister work experience scheme. As I say, this is from the Bar Council. It will allow only black or mixed race university students and graduates to join a 6-week summer internship known as the 10,000 Black Interns, or 10KBI. It's been described by some as pure racism, but what is the reality? Well, let's get behind the headlines and get to an expert. Gillian Howard, employment law consultant, author of Secrets and Lies, Tales of an Employment Lawyer, joins me now. I know her well enough to call her Gillian. Good day, Gillian. Is this racism in your view? Morning.
Well, good morning, Nick. First of all, brilliant reporting by you at the Labour Party conference.
Oh, thank you very much. Very
I hope you're not going to give me such a hard time like you gave some of those Labour politicians, quite rightly, may I say.
Now, of course, I wouldn't dream of it, Gillian. Now, I'm a little nervous about this programme, this plan here. Is it... Well, obviously, it's legal. Doesn't seem right, Gillian.
Well, of course it's right. And the MP, Rupert Lowe, who's reported in the Telegraph as sounding off, this is racism, doesn't know what he's talking about. This isn't racism against white students. The Bar Council is operating what is called positive action, a perfectly legal way under the Equality Act to help underrepresented groups, in this case black and mixed race students, who have been and still are disadvantaged and gravely underrepresented at the bar. And the Law Society also operates similar schemes. This positive action, which is legal under the Equality Act, is designed to support underrepresented groups such as the disabled, women, older people, but in this case black and mixed race students, to help overcome barriers that they've traditionally faced and still face. Now, the Bar Council is offering a 6-week summer training course to try to help to put black and mixed race students on a level playing field with white students who don't face the same hurdles. This is called targeted training, and you might be interested to know that the Metropolitan Police have in the past offered targeted training to ethnic minorities in their force. One year, there was a one-day specialist firearms training course offered by the Met to black officers only, because they were and still are significantly underrepresented amongst trained firearms officers. Mm. It might not surprise you to know that not one black officer turned up to the training day.
Oh.
The Black Officers Police Officers Association said that their members wanted to be chosen on merit, not on race.
Right. I would imagine... Can I just briefly interrupt you?
If
I may briefly interrupt
you. You may briefly interrupt me.
But I would imagine there's not great representation in the Bar Council for working class white women and men and women. Why don't we see a programme for that?
Well, I have to say, I think that that is far less common. It is.
What, the bar is full of working class women and children? But men and women?
For many years, let me say, my inn, Gray's Inn, has offered money and funds and scholarships for those who are unable to pay for themselves, or whose parents are unable to pay. But being black or mixed race is visually obvious, where it isn't visually obvious if you aren't able to pay. And as I say, for many, many years, the Bar Council and the Inns of Court have offered scholarships, but mainly to white students, unfortunately. The statistics show quite clearly that underrepresented groups are, in the main, the black and mixed race, older and, unfortunately, women.
Gillian, as ever, fantastic summation. Enjoy speaking with you. Be well. Best wishes to your family. Gillian Howard, employment law consultant, and wrote Secrets and Lies, Tales of an Employment Lawyer, 5 minutes before nine. You might want to pick up on that, but you certainly want to talk about to scrap or not to scrap the two-child benefit cap. Let's go to Pauline in Waltham Forest. Pauline, oh, I'm so sorry. No, you've called. This is marvellous. You've called so quickly. Pauline, you want to talk about the story I've just been discussing with Gillian. Go ahead. Good morning. Intern applicants barred by the bar. Gosh, you got through quickly. How fair is that? Good morning.
Do you know what? I completely understand that this causes so much contention, but I'm a black lawyer who qualified at the age of 41.
Oh, brilliant.
And and I've been in law now for over 20 years.
What field of law do you do?
I do local authority law, criminal law, and I'm also a pro bono lawyer for Windrush victims. So I've been doing lots of work with them. But one of the things that I've done is I've written quite a few pieces about this, and some of it's actually been published in the Law Gazette, because I'm always writing about things like this.
Mm.
Only because what's important is that no matter how angry people get about this, no matter how upsetting it is, all people are looking to do is find a way to level the playing field. We're not looking to be better or worse than anyone else. We just want the same rights as everyone else. And statistics throughout 50 years have shown, throughout the last 50 years, that the level playing field is just not there for black people when it comes to law.
Do you not agree with me? And I know Gillian knocked me down, and that's fine, that I bet there aren't that many white working class men and women at the bar.
Oh, but what you've got to think about is, you look at the numbers and the statistics. You've got to look at, no matter how difficult it is for people who are white, it's so much more difficult for people who are black. So what do we do? How do we find a way to address that? The disproportionate numbers and the figures for themselves show that even when you're a black student who has qualified, got all the paperwork, and your CV is just as good as your white counterpart, you're still not getting through the door. So what can you do to address that? You have to find an alternative, and positive action is a way of addressing that. It may upset people, but if we're living in a society that's equal, we've got to find a way to address the imbalance. And figures speak for themselves. You've got to do that.
Do you think these programs work?
If they get in, like I did, I didn't go on positive action, but I actually became a solicitor at 41, but I had to go through the whole process. And if I didn't have positive lecturers and students along the way who made me feel that I was capable and who pushed me forward, I wouldn't have got there. Now I'm doing that for older students, black and white, who want to get into law in a more mature age. So for me, it's important that we look at any legal tool that can address the imbalance. Whether that's going to upset people or not is unfortunate. But in life, you can please some of the people some of the time, but you can't please all of the people all of the time.
Got to ask you
and
this.
We will do whatever it takes.
Okay. 41, you became a barrister. Do you mind my asking what
a lawyer,
was...
a solicitor.
I'm so sorry, a lawyer. I do apologise.
Okay.
I do apologise. What was your career prior to that?
I was a housing benefits officer working for a local authority.
And what made you want to move across to practice law?
Because at the age of 15, I was told by a teacher I was not A-level material. And for years and years, I believed my teacher. Okay. And I actually wrote a book about this called Rice and Peas and Fish and Chips, about how we as young people, black and white, are told if we come from a certain background that we don't meet the criteria to become a lawyer or an architect or an engineer. And so we just settle ourselves into standard jobs. Right. And that's what happened to me. But at 30, a light bulb went off in my head, and I thought, okay, I don't want to do this anymore.
Pauline, you don't have to give me your last name, but if anybody wanted to catch up with your book, again, you don't have to give your family name. But
it's Pauline Campbell, and it's Rice and Peas and Fish and Chips.
Best of luck with it, Pauline. I have to leave it there because the music means we must move on, but thank you for your input. Coming up after the news, we go back to that party conference in Liverpool, and is there a weird obsession with Reform UK?
Country. You mentioned Mr. Farage five times, almost as much as you did your late father. You are mildly obsessed, aren't
no,
you?
No, not at all. There is a political divide, the like of which we have not seen in this country.
Staying with politics, we will come back. Is it time to scrap that cap, the two-child benefit cap? We'll come back to that. And in the field of health, babies could be born without mothers after what's being called an egg cell breakthrough. We'll be looking at that in more detail and asking, is this an instance where perhaps medicine, genius as it is, might have gone a step too far? Those stories and more follow the 9 o'clock news on LBC.
On your radio, on the LBC app, and...
Play LBC.
Leading Britain's conversation, this is LBC.
From Global's newsroom at 9 o'clock, the Prime Minister has told LBC that he is not obsessed with Nigel Farage after stepping up his attacks on Reform UK. Sir Keir Starmer's speech to the Labour Party conference included a series of references to reform. He's also welcomed the idea of Angela Rayner returning to frontline politics. Sir Keir was asked by Nick if he'd be happy to see his former deputy come back.
She made a mistake. She's paid a heavy price.
Indeed.
And I've always thought that she will be a major voice again in the Labour movement.
Okay.
And I think that is a good thing. And I've been really struck, actually, since she did step down, by the number of people from different political walks of life who say to me they do want to see Angela Rayner have that voice again.
You can see more of Nick's interview with Sir Keir Starmer on the LBC app. There is growing speculation about the future of the two-child benefit cap. It's reported it could be lifted in Rachel Reeves' budget, but sources say no final decision has been taken. LBC's political editor, Natasha Clark, is at Labour's conference in Liverpool.
The Chancellor is said to be looking at this idea of a tapered system where basically you will get more money the more children you have, but it will then taper down. Now, I spoke to Treasury sources about this yesterday. They did not deny reports that they are looking at this so-called new system. And actually, it's a bit of a compromise move for them because they won't have to pay £3.5 billion in order to lift that two-child benefit cap.
Hundreds of thousands of federal workers are being told to stay at home because of a US government shutdown. Federal funding was cut off at midnight after senators failed to pass a last-minute spending bill. Princess Anne has made a surprise trip to Ukraine to pay her respects to children killed in the war with Russia. The Princess Royal also discussed Britain's support for Kiev with President Zelensky. Liverpool suffered a second consecutive defeat as they lost 1-0 away to Galatasaray in the Champions League. Tottenham drew 2-2 with Bodo Glimt, and Chelsea were 1-0 winners over Jose Mourinho's Benfica at Stamford Bridge. In the city, the FTSE 100 a short time ago was up 21 at 93.71. The pound buys $1.34 and a euro 14. LBC weather, fog clearing to leave sunny spells for many areas, but cloudy with spells of heavy rain in northern parts of the UK. A high of 19 degrees. From Global's newsroom for LBC, I'm Thomas Watt.
Angela Rippon, what are you doing here?
I've come to tell you about using energy flexibly, Albert.
Flexibly?
Yes, smart meter owners could get rewarded for moving their energy use, like doing the laundry at off-peak times.
So I don't need to do the splits?
No, Albert, nobody wants to see that.
Get rewarded for using energy flexibly, only with a smart meter. Search Get a Smart Meter today.
Eligibility and availability vary. Consumer action required. Reward schemes and tariffs available to selected customers from selected suppliers.
This is LBC from Global, leading Britain's conversation with Nick Ferrari at breakfast.
Good morning, 3 minutes after nine on Wednesday, October the 1st. Coming up to the end of that party conference. And now Nigel Farage is saying effectively the Prime Minister has put a target on my back with his attacks. Not just his, of course. He also points that most of the Cabinet will look at that in more detail and ask, as I asked the Prime Minister, have you got an obsession with either Farage or Reform UK? Plus, how babies could be born without mothers. But how exactly will that work? And we will come back, is it time to scrap that two-child benefit cap? Michael Simmons, the economics editor with The Spectator. He told me in the previous hour,
this is something that does penalise. It's something that's, hard to justify.
Nick Ferrari at breakfast. Call 0345 6060973. Text 84850. Nick Ferrari at breakfast on LBC.
If anything emerged from the Labour Party conference, it is that clearly the Labour Party sees Reform UK as their main challenge. You might have heard on this show yesterday Professor Sir John Curtis, who is the leading what's called cephologist or pollster in the country, saying that unless economics come their way or the most extraordinary turn of events, he cannot see Labour salvaging the situation by the next general election. So don't worry what I say. Sir John is an extraordinarily guy who gets it. To my knowledge, he's got it right every single time. I can't remember when he got anything wrong. But they're also, I need to say on the other side, they are also, as Sir John said in his speech at the conference. Why does everybody say conference? Why can't it be the conference? Speech at the conference. That they're also hemorrhaging a lot of votes or a lot of support to the Greens and the Lib Dems on the other side. So Labour are really being squeezed. But was there a mention of Sir Ed Davey? No. Was there a mention of Zach Polanski and the Greens? No. Was there a mention of Nigel Farage and Reform UK yesterday during that 52-minute Prime Ministerial speech? Not half.
When was the last time that you heard Nigel Farage say anything positive about Britain's future? Whilst we must come together to fight reform with everything that this movement has, we must go into that battle armed. And the question I ask seriously of Nigel Farage and reform is, do they love our country, whether it's the SNP, the extremes of the left, or reform and the Tories now? Do they actually want Britain to fail?
Armed and going into battle. About an hour and a half after the Prime Minister has finished speaking. I'm so sorry, I misread that. I do apologise. Shortly after the Prime Minister, I'm sorry, that's when I sat down with my apologies. Just minutes after the Prime Minister had finished speaking. And this, as I said earlier, to show how the dynamics are changing. Because the Prime Minister gave a speech yesterday to the party faithful, much as they did in the 2010s, in the 2000s, in the 90s, in the 80s, in the 70s, in the 60s. Nothing has changed. To quote Theresa May, nothing has changed. But within minutes now, of course, using social media, the leader of Reform UK, Nigel Farage, popped up and said,
it's been an extraordinary conference. I've been watching party conferences for half a century. Never before have I seen one name so dominate a conference. And the remarkable thing is, it's somebody that isn't even a member of the Labour Party. Yes, it's me, Nigel Farage. And I thought the Mac cartoon on the front of today's Telegraph summed the whole thing up rather beautifully. The sketch was two delegates leaving the Labour Party conference, one saying to the other, next year we're going to the Reform conference because they don't talk about Nigel Farage all the time. It has been obsessive, whether it's the Home Secretary, whether it's the Health Secretary. It is a constant attack on me and what I stand for and what we as Reform UK, a party that has led the opinion polls now for over 100 polls. It's an attack on everything that we stand for and believe in. What I've learnt this week is that the government are incapable of beating us on our arguments. And as a result, the Prime Minister has decided to descend into the gutter and all of his cabinet with him. Let us be clear. Reform want illegal migrants deported from our country. And as I speak, a further 400 have crossed the English Channel today. Reform want the benefit system to be for UK citizens, for British citizens only, not for foreign-born nationals. Reform want foreign criminals removed from our country ASAP. Labour says these policies are racist and immoral, and by implication, Reform supporters, Reform voters, Reform sympathisers are racist too. Yes, if you think we should control our borders, you are, by the definition of the Prime Minister and his cabinet, all racists. Now, I don't normally worry about abuse being thrown at me. I've got kind of used to it over the course of the last few years. But to accuse countless millions of being racist is a very, very low blow. Why? Well, this language will incite and encourage the radical left. I'm thinking of Antifa and other organisations like that. It directly threatens the safety of our elected officials and our campaigners. And frankly, in the wake of the Charlie Kirk murder, I think this is an absolute disgrace.
That was Nigel Farage. He has a piece in one of your newspapers this morning, the Daily Mail, in which it ends, mark my words, Reform will teach Keir Starmer and the Labour Party a lesson at the ballot box. He's referring, of course, what he likes to call them the midterms, an American equivalent, or the British equivalent of the American midterms, I should say. These are elections in London and other parts of England, in Scotland and in Wales. Now, about 2 hours, one half, 2 hours after the Prime Minister had finished speech, I had an opportunity to speak briefly with him, and I asked him about his insistence to keep mentioning Nigel Farage.
Minutes after you put your speech, and congratulations, I could see how well it went down in the hall we're sitting in now, so well done. But Nigel Farage came up, as you're probably aware, and claimed you had an obsession with him. How concerned are you that he says some of your comments could have put him at risk?
No, that's not the case.
Well, what respectfully, that's what Mr. Farage says, Prime Minister.
Well, he says a lot of things that I don't agree with. I am concerned to make the argument, and I will, on behalf of the country that I love, this tolerant, beautiful, diverse country where we pull together as a country. I am deeply concerned about Reform because I think they will toxically divide our country and rip it apart. And I'm up for that fight because I think it is the fight of our times. It goes to the soul of who we are as a country.
But you mentioned Mr. Farage five times, almost as much as you did your late father. You are mildly obsessed, aren't you?
No, not at all. There is a political divide, the like of which we have not seen in this country. You know, we traditionally have Labour versus the Tories. That is not the fight next time around. This is not peculiar to the United Kingdom. You can see it all across Europe. The centre-right parties are withering on the vine, as the Tories are. It is a different fight. It goes to a more fundamental issue, which is who are we as a country?
Okay.
And it's really important that I go out and fight for and defend for the country that I love, that I am a patriot of.
And you're going to still smash the gangs, lastly. Mr. Farage pointed out, 400 people arrived today. You're still smashing the gangs. We will not surrender our borders, Prime Minister.
We will not surrender our borders.
But 400 arrived today, Prime Minister.
I appreciate that, and we're working really hard to bring those numbers down. I'd just point this out, Nick, if I may. We are passing a borders bill, which is to give more powers to law enforcement at the borders. What did Nigel Farage do? He voted against it. We've got a returns deal with France, means we can return people to France. What does Farage say he'll do? He says he'll pull that down. We want to have ID cards so that you cannot work in our economy illegally. What does Farage do? He says he doesn't want it. Common factor here, he doesn't want to fix this problem, because if the boats stop coming across the channel, then he knows that his political currency goes down. He doesn't want to fix the problem. He wants to feed off it. That's the difference.
Here's a question for you, just before I pick up on what is Labour's obsession. Why did they not, as one colleague said, why just ignore him? Don't reference reform. Don't reference Nigel Farage. Just get on with what you can say you've achieved and say what you can achieve. All you do is, of course, feed the beast, put wind in the sails. But the Prime Minister was not the only one to bang on about them. Here's DPN Deputy Prime Minister David Lammy.
I'm not going to play the man. I'm playing the ball as our leader did. I will leave it for the public to come to their own judgments about someone who once flirted with Hitler Youth when he was younger. That is for the public.
I won't play the man. I won't play the man, I'll play the ball. And then he does what seems to be a totally unfounded slur, because 2 hours later he was back on the BBC.
I'm happy to clarify. I did say it's for the public to make up their mind, and I did also emphasise that let us play the ball, not the man. So it's not my intention to play the man, Nigel Farage. In fact, I did a show with Nigel Farage on LBC a few years ago. Let us concentrate on the ball, the policy. I accept that he has denied it, and I would like to clarify that position, because in the end, the Prime Minister was keen for us to focus on the policies, not the individual.
Well, I don't know if there's any credit in saying that you can do a show on LBC. Anybody can go on LBC at the moment and present breakfast. That's quite palpably true, isn't it? But if you look at, and having had the benefit of being up in Liverpool and mixing and having the opportunity to speak with some senior members of the government and others and party workers and whatever else, as I said in the first hour of the show, whatever happens at the midterms or the local elections next March, and I think the government will be in for quite a kicking, by the way, whatever happens then, at the next general election currently, if, as the poll showed last weekend, if the votes go the way the poll's going, 267 Labour MPs would lose their seats. 267 of 401 would be gone. They wouldn't all go, I hasten to add, to Reform, but a fair old chunk would. Reform would be the biggest single party, so they would be the kingmakers potential. Well, they would be looking for a kingmaker so that they could be in a position of power. So what has happened is, in the space of a few years, Reform have gone from not even existing to, I say, almost without doubt, being the opposition, at the very least, at the next general election. And in part, it is fed by the speeches that you heard from the Health Secretary and others, Work and Pensions, everyone else, and indeed the Prime Minister, for that matter. So it is an obsession with them, and all they're doing is, to use that expression, feeding the beast. We'll take more of your calls on that. And if you've had your fill of politics, and I don't blame you, God only knows, you can only take so much. We're into the field of medicine. Babies could be born without mothers after a breakthrough. More details on that after the 9:15 news. Thomas Watts.
The Prime Minister's told Nick that he's not at all obsessed with Nigel Farage, despite a Labour conference dominated by attacks on the Reform leader. There is growing speculation Rachel Reeves could lift the two-child benefit cap in the budget this autumn, and the US government's shut down after the Democrats refused to back a Republican spending plan. LBC weather, fog clearing to leave sunny spells for many places, a high of 19 degrees.
LBC Travel, I'm Joanne Webb. The M25 is closed clockwise at Junction 14 at Heathrow, and that's following an accident, and there are severe delays back to Junction 9 at Leatherhead. There was an accident in the queue as well. That's been cleared for a while, but it's added to the delays. Anti-clockwise is slow from Junction 18 at Chorley Wood, and all the surrounding routes are hardly moving at all. The A2 is blocked westbound at the South Circular Road up to the Kidbrook interchange. It's following an accident, and there are delays all the way back to the M25 junction. On the underground, there are minor delays on the District Line between Parsons Green and Wimbledon, and minor delays on the Central Line between North Acton and Ealing Broadway.
This is LBC.
My mum, a legend to the end. A tough time, made easier by Co-op Funeral Care. A proper chat over a cuppa, a few classic mumisms, that camping trip in Skegness. And we've got it. A brilliant goodbye that felt right.
We're here in your community to guide, support, or simply talk things through. However you choose to say goodbye, we help you own it. Co-op. Owned by you. Right by you. Search Co-op Funeral Care for your nearest funeral home.
Call Nick Ferrari now. 0345 6060 973. LBC.
Amazon has increased funding for employees to £3,000 a year every year for career development. Like Juliet. She's now a trained technician. And to her, the sound of machinery in need of repair reminds her of how far she's come. In 2 years, she's landed her dream job, providing her with valuable skills. That's up to £3,000 every year for career development at Amazon. Eligibility conditions apply.
Get them class ready with Samsung. Upgrade to the epic Galaxy S25 Ultra and get a free 14-inch Galaxy Chromebook Go worth £399. A laptop for study and streaming and a Galaxy AI-powered smartphone that effortlessly manages your everyday tasks. It's genius, really. Buy before the 2nd of October 2025 from a participating retailer. Claim from Samsung within 30 days of purchase. T's and C's apply.
When BP asked me to read the voiceover for their new Wild Bean Cafe ad, I thought I knew what to expect. But when they told me I'd be reading the script next to a mountain waterfall, on horseback, strumming a harp, in a hailstorm, naked, ow, 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 ow. Well, that was wildly unexpected. Just like Wild Bean Cafe having a freshly ground signature espresso blend for everything from Americanos to flat whites in a fuel station. Wowzers. Wild Bean Cafe. Only at BP. Subject to availability at selected BP stores only.
Nick Ferrari at breakfast on LBC. Call 0345 6060 973.
David in Uxbridge, let's war game this, as they say, David. You're the Prime Minister, we're working out your speech. You say that you want to go on the attack for Nigel Farage and reform, and I say, Prime Minister, don't. Don't mention him. Don't put oxygen through. How would you react, David? Morning.
I think he would still do it anyway, because he doesn't have anything else. I mean, he's really rattled, I believe, that Starmer and the whole of the Labour Party are rattled by reform.
But there are five reform MPs. There are 401 Labour MPs. Well, what on earth is the matter with them?
Those five MPs are definitely doing something that's got the nation's attention, if you want. I mean, because Labour in itself in 15 months, they've done more damage, I think, than the 14 years of the Tories. But anyway, that's a different conversation. But I mean, the way I see it, it's Labour, I think, that are driving the right-wing and racist narrative, and I think it's to get votes. Any time somebody's outside a hotel waving a flag, you know, they're right-wing. But the thousands of diverse supporters that were at the Labour Party conference waving the same flags, they're all patriots. So, I mean, what's the difference here? I mean, you know, who isn't racist and who isn't.
What did you make of the flag waving and senior members of the government sitting almost like children waiting to wave a plastic flag?
I thought it was pathetic, really. Sorry. I mean, it was like, I mean, he's saying he needs to, you know, regain the flag. The flag is there for everybody.
Yeah.
Whether you're an immigrant or whether you're born in this country, the flag is for everybody. I mean, soldiers fought for that flag.
They did.
You know, they defend that flag even now when it's dripping out of colour. So, I mean, it's pathetic that the Labour are actually going this way. And I don't want to kind of go on about it, but I was always brought up in a political argument. If you bring the Nazis or Hitler into it, you've either lost your way, and you've definitely lost the argument.
I agree.
And David Lammy, to me, is one of the worst you could have in government. But that's a personal kind of thing for me. It's just the way I see him.
David, thank you. I totally agree. The minute you hear Nazism or it's like Hitler, you've just run, I think you've run out of road and you've probably lost the argument. David, thanks. Let's see what others make of it. I'm going to move on, although we will return to this, because I've got the opportunity to speak to someone to respond to an extraordinary headline, really. Babies could be born without mothers. Scientists have created human egg cells from skin in a breakthrough that could allow babies to be born without biological mothers. This would allow gay men to have children to whom they are genetically related using DNA from both fathers. If proven safe, the process, researchers believe, with the largest group to benefit could be women whose supplies of eggs are depleted by age or treatment for cancer. Dr. Tim Child is an associate professor of reproductive medicine at the University of Oxford, board member of the Human Fertilisation and Embryology Authority, and joins me now. I guess I need to start with the how, Doctor. How does this work? Good morning.
Morning to you, Nick. It's sort of a fascinating bit of research, really. It's been built on a lot of animal research that's gone on the last few years. But this is the first time it's been shown to potentially work in humans. And so what the scientists in the States did was to take skin biopsies from women to remove the DNA, the genetics, from the skin cells, then to have some donor eggs from another woman, take the genetic DNA out of the donor eggs, and then swap them over. So put the DNA from the skin cells into the eggs. And then they made embryos from there.
It's incredible. Do you see this becoming a regular practice, Doctor?
I don't think. I mean, this particular study was a proof of concept, just seeing whether it could work. Of course, it would open up the possibility, as you mentioned in the introduction, of some patient groups having genetically their own children, in particular women who perhaps women who've run out of eggs, yep, premature menopause or something like that. And also, as you mentioned, potentially two men could have a child genetically related to both of them. But we are a long way from seeing this proven to be safe and efficacious.
Some would say, Doctor, this is a bridge too far. This is a step too far. This is almost playing God. As an expert in the field, how would you respond?
Well, I think that the sort of playing God comment has been thrown at IVF, for instance, since the development of IVF in the 60s and 70s. And so I'm not sure that's a fair comment. But certainly all of these developments have scientific and ethical challenges. And in the UK, we have an extremely strong regulatory oversight through the Human Fertilisation and Embryology Authority, the HFEA. And so any developments like this would have to be very closely scrutinised, particularly from a safety and an ethical perspective, before being permitted. And very often an Act of Parliament is required to actually allow some of these developments to come to clinical fruition.
So lastly, again, as an expert in the field, there will be women listening who, as you said, might have had a premature menopause or are having treatment for cancer. There may be gay men listening. What happens next with research like this? I mean, it's not as if it's going to be happening, this time next year, is it?
No, I think we're years and years away from anything like this being clinically acceptable. I mean, just a very quick aside, the scientists showed that all of the embryos that they made through this technique, all of them had genetic abnormalities. And so it would have to be shown that there were not genetic abnormalities in these embryos made from this technique. And of course, that the risk to any children being born from them was absolutely minimal of having genetic abnormalities because of this technique.
So this isn't cloning then, an advance of cloning? You remember Dolly? Was it Dolly the sheep?
It's Dolly the sheep. Yeah. It's not cloning. There are some similarities scientifically, but it's not cloning. It belongs to a whole group of research, which in vitro gametogenesis, which really means making eggs and sperm in the laboratory, and it's sort of a similar field to that.
Really enjoyed our conversation. Thanks for filling in so much of the detail. Dr. Tim Child is Associate Professor of Reproductive Medicine at the University of Oxford and is a board member of the Human Fertilisation and Embryology Authority. Let's get back into this conversation, what appears to be an obsession not just with the Prime Minister but the Deputy Prime Minister. Wouldn't it have been beneficial for Labour just not to mention them? And here's the other thought. How many times did he mention the Conservatives? One, as a gag. He said something like, from memory, the Tories, anybody remember them? Or words to the fact, can't remember exact words, but I had it written down, I can't find my notebook. Anybody remember them? So that is the reality. Lib Dems, I don't think, got a mention. The Tories got one as a gag. Reform, well, you run out, almost as much as he talked about his dad. David's in Hampstead. David, was it the right path to take? Good morning.
Good morning, great show.
Oh, thank you.
It's so telling that he didn't really talk about what they've supposedly achieved in 15 months. It was just Farage, 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 Farage. And actually, what's quite interesting occurred to me is I remember one just over a year ago, on all dates, September the 11th, I actually phoned your show and I said to you, Nick, I bet you, we actually made a bet for a Loneliness charity.
Oh, go on. Sorry, do I owe you money? I'm so sorry.
Well, no, not me. It'll be the charity.
Oh, right. Yeah, of course. Yeah.
I said, I'll match your donation, Nick. But anyway, I said that I guarantee that in 12 months under Labour, the country will not be in a better position than it is, well, now, which was then. And I mean, they've got to the point
what
where
Did I say that it would be?
Well, I think you said, let's see, we don't know.
Ah, okay, right.
Well,
okay,
and the thing is, they really have no policies that they can turn to. And governments normally have, like, that one thing they just bang on about, and they'll say, we've done that. They don't even have that. They can't really turn to anything, because they've literally just, you know, stabbed in the back, you know, farmers, WASPy women, pensioners, like, you name it. They've just got everybody, and it's just, they can't do anything other than, I mean, ironically, attack the man. It's literally all they're doing now.
Yes, it is. Yeah, they are playing the man and not the ball now, aren't they?
It's ridiculous. It's ridiculous. And other parties are also jumping on the Farage bandwagon, other than, I think, the kind of loony fringe parties like the Greens and Jeremy Corbyn's party.
Well, I don't know if everybody thinks they're loony and on the fringe. David, thank you. By the way, if you do send me an email, if I do owe money to a charity, I wouldn't want to think that I don't pay out my bet. I don't know necessarily that I quite owe the money yet, but if you think I do, I'm happy to resolve that. David, have a good one. Thank you. If he says, I'm not a fan of the PM banging on about Mr. Farage, but for crying out loud, Farage's use of Trumpian language is becoming creepier by the day. When did we welcome the word Antifa in our political correspondence? Political conversation. So sorry. Harry in Gravesend. On the basis Reform has the same number of MPs as the Green Party, how many times have you had a Green Party MP on your show over the past 6 months compared to your friend Nigel Farage's party political broadcast? Don't use the excuse it's because Farage could be the next Prime Minister. You're just a right-wing journalist. Ben in Bermondsey, you're on the radio. Good morning, Ben.
Good morning, Nick. A long-time listener, well, not a fan, but trying to get to know you.
Okay,
so. All right. Now, this is what I have to say, and I'll be brief.
Please.
Nick, we know your job is to stoke the political arena as a journalist. Hold on. Rather than promote such tense and unhelpful situation in the country, we should be discussing about the policies and the way forward and how the policy might or may not work.
Why didn't he do that, sir? Why didn't the Prime Minister do that?
He did, because first, listen, Nick, these people came in 1 year and 3 months. I used to be a Labour supporter. I was drifting off to the Greens. But after yesterday, and the Prime Minister showing gloves off, it's time to take the fight to the people destroying the image of our country.
Okay. What did he say that really resonated with you, Ben?
Nick, everything he said from the beginning to the end, even the words that he used, do you notice he's a statesman? He doesn't curse. He doesn't create division. He doesn't use words that will stoke fear. You have to look at the trend. If you compare Prime Minister Keir Starmer to every people like Boris Johnson, compare him, and then Farage hasn't even got into play, but Farage is already creating division, flags flying, rallies, support for this and that. Farage went as far as going to America to discredit the name of a country that built America, asking for sanction.
Okay, why then, if that is what the Prime Minister has achieved, why would he keep mentioning one of the opposition parties?
Okay, Nick, look at it. Tories are not being mentioned anymore because they spent the last 14 years destroying the country. Now, Labour comes in. I'm not going to say they are the best, but a man has been sick for 20 years. He didn't die, but a man comes in to try and heal him up and kept him alive. Now, who do you think will do a better job? Someone trying to cure the country from 14 years.
But I don't think the country is getting better after 14 months, is it?
It's been 1 year and 3 months. Well, how do you change something in 1 year and 3 months that's been destroyed?
You don't take winter fuel payments away from people, do you? You honour the promise for WASPy women, don't you? Isn't that
okay,
what you do?
Okay, Nick, I'm 52 years old, yeah?
Mm-hmm.
I've been here for 45 years.
Yeah.
You're talking about winter payment. We keep banging about winter payment as if that's the only thing that keeps the country going. No one's talking about the children.
What has he achieved then? Let's come at it the other way. What has he achieved, Ben?
Let's look at it. Have you looked at the record of the NHS, sir?
What has he achieved?
Okay, look at the record of the NHS.
Waiting lists staying exactly where they were 14 months ago.
No.
I don't know what
No, sir. I don't know what record you're looking at. The problem? People
exactly
don't
what
talk
I
about
yesterday.
I get it, Nick. I know you represent the Tories sometimes and the other side of the divide, but sometimes let's let common sense prevail.
You honestly telling me, lastly, Ben, and I'm thoroughly enjoying our conversation, apologies if you're waiting for the news, that my listeners think the NHS is running better now than it did 14 months ago, Ben?
Compare the NHS to when the Tories were under and Boris was building fake annexes and claiming it was hospital? Come on, Nick.
Okay. I don't think many... I really enjoyed our conversation, and I regret that I didn't bring you on early, and I really look forward to speaking to you again. Ben, thank you very much. We'll pick up on what Ben said. 9:32, Breakfast with me, Nick Ferrara, and LBC News headlines, Thomas Watts.
Sir Keir Starmer's told Nick that he wants to see his former deputy, Angela Rayner, back in frontline politics. She was forced to step down last month in a row over stamp duty paid on a flat she bought near Brighton. There is growing speculation that the Chancellor could lift the two-child benefit cap in her budget. Rachel Reeves hasn't denied the reports, but says she won't commit to policies without explaining where the money is coming from. The US government has shut down for the first time in almost 7 years, bringing many federal services to a halt. It's the result of a Senate standoff between the Democrats and Republicans in a row over healthcare funding. LBC weather, sunny spells for many places today, but cloudy with spells of heavy rain in northern areas. A high of 19 degrees.
This is LBC.
Amazon Prime Big Deal Days are the 7th and 8th of October. 2 days of big deals on electronics, home, kitchen and more. That'll make you feel less like and more like feel like a big deal. Amazon Prime Big Deal Days are the 7th and 8th of October, exclusively for Prime members. Join Prime now.
Hey, it's me, your dishwasher. I'm sorry about the chaos last night. I think a fork got jammed in my racks. Whoops. Don't even check the bills. I've overdone it. Don't get mad, okay, but I used up lots of power yesterday. Sometimes you just have to blow off some steam.
It can feel like all your energy does is take, take, take. But the longer you're with OVO, the more rewards you get. OVO. Do energy differently. Beyond customers only. Eligibility required. Redemption limits apply.
Get them class ready with Samsung. Upgrade to the epic Galaxy S25 Ultra and get a free 14-inch Galaxy Chromebook Go worth £399. A laptop for study and streaming and a Galaxy AI-powered smartphone that effortlessly manages your everyday tasks. It's genius, really. Buy before the 2nd of October 2025 from a participating retailer. Claim from Samsung within 30 days of purchase. T's and C's apply.
Nick Ferrari at Breakfast on LBC. Call 0345 6060973.
Come back to our conversation about the Labour conference. Nathan, you'll be the next caller on that. But one other story we looked at in the previous hour, it's a lot of reaction, is something that you might hear more on next month, the possibility that the Chancellor, Rachel Reeves, will lift the two-child benefit limit in the budget. Now, this has been a key demand of a lot of Labour MPs and indeed child poverty campaigners. Officials are reportedly exploring options for a new tapered system. Now, as I say, I started this conversation in the previous hour. I spoke with economics editor of The Spectator, Michael Simmons, and I started off by asking Michael why it is this issue of the cap is such a political hot potato.
It's quite simply not something that if you're a Labour MP, you'd be keen on. This is something that does penalise children. It's not that we're saying, you know, that we're taking this benefit away from work-shy people or people who have been in unemployment for ages. This obviously affects children. So it's something that's, hard to justify, especially if you're of the left. But I think on the other hand, you know, the Conservatives would make the argument that, taxpayers that are out there hardworking, paying for their own families, should not have to support larger families where, you know, the parents are not able to support their own kids.
I also spoke with Dan Paskins. Now, he's Executive Director for Policy, Advocacy and Campaigns at Save the Children UK. Here's what he told me after I asked for his reaction to reports that the cap could be scrapped next month.
We are really excited about this news. It's something we've been campaigning about for a long time. It's something which the families we work with tell us it's not going to be life-changing amounts of money, but it's a real practical help to afford, to be able to afford some of the basics. So, you know, going into winter, you know, needing a new coat for the winter, new shoes, not having to skip meals, you know, the sort of pressures which many families are facing. And it will help nearly 1.7 million children at a time when currently child poverty in this country is rising. So it's a really positive sort of step forward. Every day, child poverty is increasing in this country, and this has been happening for many years now. And just because of this two-child limit, over 100 children every day are moving into poverty, just because of this one single policy. So the government's trying to do lots of other things. Obviously, families are doing their best. But just this one policy on its own is making this problem worse.
It's estimated it will cost the taxpayer, cost you me, £3.5 billion. And it does bring up the argument, should we be paying people to have children? The old idea that if you can't afford to have, let's say, four children, well, don't have four children. We pay for the first two. Many would say that that's enough. A lot of you got involved in the previous hour. Rachel's in Lossiemouth. Rachel, what do you want to say? Good morning.
Morning, Nick. How are you?
Oh, right, Rachel. What do you think needs to happen next month with this?
I think, well, do you remember we had a conversation earlier this year about toothbrushes?
Mm-hmm.
You were? Yes, and I explained how that had been going on for 20 years in Wales and Scotland.
This was the provision of toothbrushes at schools?
Yeah.
Yeah.
The Child Smile programme. And yeah. That's helped prevent children from having to have the dentist, just losing their teeth naturally.
Quite so why people don't buy their children presenting toothbrushes.
Less children presenting in the NHS,
yeah,
putting a burden
parents,
on other services.
It's the parents' responsibility to buy toothbrushes, but there we go.
Well, when I was a kid, we had a dentist come into the school. I don't see what the problem was then.
No, I'm not against that.
Complaining about it.
I don't know. Anyway, yes, let's come back to this one because we've talked about toothbrushes before. Go ahead, Rachel.
So this is precisely the same thing, and it's already been running in Scotland. It's a game changer for the Scottish Child Payment. And this is not just parents. This is grandparents, people that have families with disabilities.
When you say it's been running, what precisely do you mean by it's been running in Scotland?
So in Scotland, we have mitigated the two-child cap, and not only that, we have the Scottish Child Payment. So if you're in receipt of pension credit, income credit, universal credit, you get £27 per week per child.
Mm-hmm.
If you're in receipt of those benefits.
Mm-hmm.
And the Trussell Trust and that, it say it's a game changer. Poverty is on the decrease in Scotland, whilst it's in the rise in England and Wales. Which direction do you want the country to go as in regard to poverty?
Obviously, I want there to be less poverty. I want to try and eradicate poverty if possible. I don't know that you'll
exactly.
ever manage it. But I also
if this is something that universally prevents burdens on other services, such as social services, the NHS, children with less money, less support, end up burdening other parts of the infrastructure
and
system.
I'm minded.
So it pays for itself.
Rachel, I'm minded of callers in the first hour. You might not have heard them. There was Charlotte in Harlow. There was Stacey in Enfield. There was Mike in Bolton. Of whom some of those now are not going to have more children because they simply can't afford it, and they're a little bit peeved that they will now be paying taxes for other people's children. Why should that happen to those women?
I'm sure they'd be upset if somebody, like my friend of mine, she had to take on her grandchildren because her daughter, unfortunately, was no longer with the family.
It's horrible, yes. What would you say to Charlotte and Stacey who can't become mums? I'm so sorry, Charlotte is a mother already. Charlotte who can't have more children because they can't afford it. Why don't they just let the state pay?
I think because the circumstances for the past 14 years where everything's gone up, wages have been suppressed.
Prices have gone up for decades.
Massively.
Prices have never gone down. Ever.
But the government's not really tackling a lot of those things, but you can tackle poverty and it pays for itself. The universality of the payment pays for itself and unburdens other parts.
£3.5 billion is what this is going to cost. It is estimated. £3.5
You're looking
billion.
At what costs, but it actually has an actual cost but, benefit.
But
to
you still haven't actually said what you would say to Charlotte or to Stacey, those two.
So their taxes, well, the payment of that then alleviates more taxes to go into other services because the poverty is being reduced.
No, but Stacey is not going to have a child and Charlotte can't have another child.
Well, I'm sure that on her income, right, there's a lot of changes she could make financially if she wanted to do that, because she sounded like she had quite a high income. We can all make changes if we really desire to do something, but she's chosen she wants to maintain her lifestyle with just two children. That's entirely up to her. That's her prerogative.
Rachel, thank you. A lot of people getting involved. Thank you, Rachel. Have a good day. A lot of people getting involved. Craig in Hawley, surely there must be a case for removing the two-child cap for working parents whose children go to school regularly. It would be easy to monitor. These would be the families that rightly have earned the additional help from the state and will be the families that will probably go on to work and pay tax into the system. Louise in Woking, keep the cap. Give tax... Ah, now, I like this idea. Give tax relief to working parents. More help for parents with multiples. I'm a parent with naturally conceived triplets. I'm a teacher. I've worked since I left university. My husband is a security guard and has worked since he left school. We needed help with the triplets. We were very grateful for that. But I completely agree with the cap in place. We'll talk more about the benefit cap, but it is the Labour conference and the Prime Minister's speech and his attack, I think it's fair to say, on Nigel Farage that's got you talking. Nathan in Glasgow, thank you for holding on the line. You're on the radio. What are you going to tell me?
I don't know. Yeah, I would just say, contrary, I think, to your position, I would support Starmer's approach. I think Farage's approach is invidious. It's trying to adopt wholesale the policies and the processes and the way America is behaving just now, which, frankly, is disgusting. And why do we want to import that to this country? That's far more of an existential danger to us than anything that I've seen in my lifetime.
Why has it gained such popularity, do you think, the Reform Party?
Misinformation. And a focus from the media, and I'm afraid to say yourself, I mean, the question of when they only have five members of parliament, why are they receiving such attention? Well, on the flip side, Nick, and, you know, yesterday or last week or whatever, I've heard you yourself say, well, you know, they're scoring so highly in the polls.
But it's not just me, Nathan. You could ask the Prime Minister, why did you devote so much of your time yesterday to Reform? You could ask the Deputy Prime Minister, why did you decide to say that Nigel Farage had some kind of alliance with Adolf Hitler? You could ask the Health Secretary why he talked about Wes Streeting, why he talked about Nigel Farage and said that he's not as attractive as Brad Pitt. It's not the media's obsession, it's the government's obsession, Nathan.
No, I disagree. I think they're obliged to answer.
I've just told you, the Health Secretary, the DPM and the Prime Minister.
Fantastic. But that's not my point. Yes, they have focused upon them, and they focus upon them because they see them as an existential threat, supported by the mainstream media and other interests. Other interests who, for instance, would love to take over our NHS. This is all about profit and money-making. Farage is a puppet of, and he's a puppet of whomever will pay the bills for him and whoever will make him richer, wealthier, more popular, more famous. There is no genuine position from Farage. You've seen that through the years yourself.
And there is, lastly, a genuine position from Sir Keir.
Yes. He doesn't like racists.
What is,
much like myself.
Right. What is that genuine position as regards running the country?
Well, the man's trying to improve a lot. I mean, he's only been there for a year, and all of a sudden he's responsible for everything the Tories have done in 14 years.
Okay. He's only been there, it's actually a little over a year, it's about 15 months. He's only been there for a year. Are we going to say that in a year's time? He's only been there 2 years. How long is that argument going to hold? Nathan, grateful for your input. We'll talk this and we'll talk scrap the cap as well. 9:45 now, though, LBC News headlines. Thomas Watts.
The Prime Minister has told LBC that he'd like to see his former deputy, Angela Rayner, return to frontline politics. There is growing speculation the Chancellor could lift the two-child benefit cap next month, and the US government has shut down for the first time in almost 7 years. LBC weather, sunny spells for many, but cloudy with heavy rain further north, a high of 19 degrees.
LBC Travel, I'm Joanne Webb. Long delays continue on the western stretch of the M25. It remains closed clockwise at Junction 14 at Heathrow. Those delays back to Junction 10 at the A3, and the surrounding routes are extremely busy, especially through Staines and Stanwell Moor. Also on the M25, it's slow anti-clockwise at Junction 30 at the A13 after a car broke down earlier. The A2 has reopened westbound at the South Circular Road at Eltham, but there are still delays back to Dartford Heath. On the Underground, there are minor delays on the Central Line between North Acton and Ealing Broadway, and minor delays as well on the District Line between Parsons Green and Wimbledon, and that's all down to a signal failure.
Coming up at 10 on LBC, James O'Brien.
So he gets his toes tickled on a regular basis in every right-wing studio in the country and makes front-page news for breaking wind. But the Prime Minister's obsessed for talking about him?
James O'Brien on LBC.
When they're away at uni and the show you all love is on telly. When you're miles apart but still laughing at the same joke. When the emojis come thick and fast.
Triple smiley face and a heart.
I knew they'd love that.
Nothing brings us together like great TV. Make sure your child has a TV license when they go to uni, so they're covered to watch all TV channels and you can still enjoy all those TV moments in the family group chat.
This is LBC. Listen on Global Player or the LBC app. Download it from your app store now.
Stayshore. What is Stayshore? Stayshore is not just the UK's favourite travel insurance. Stayshore is the confidence that comes with knowing that you're covered by the company with more five-star reviews on Trustpilot than any other provider. A company that welcomes people of all ages with pre-existing medical conditions for single or multiple trips. So Stayshore with Stayshore Travel Insurance. UK's favourite relates to number of five-star Trustpilot reviews, T's and C's and verifications at stayshore.co.uk/reviews.
Play Set for Life from the National Lottery. Winners get 10k every month for 30 years. You could win on repeat. Set for Life. Play now on the National Lottery app. Terms, rules and procedures apply. Players must be 18 or over.
Get them class ready with Samsung. Upgrade to the epic Galaxy S25 Ultra and get a free 14-inch Galaxy Chromebook Go worth £399. A laptop for study and streaming and a Galaxy AI-powered smartphone that effortlessly manages your everyday tasks. It's genius, really. Buy before the 2nd of October 2025 from a participating retailer. Claim from Samsung within 30 days of purchase. T's and C's apply.
Fraud can happen faster than you think. But at Barclays, we use innovative technology that spots fraud in under a second. And our dedicated team of experts work 24/7. So you can go about your day knowing we never stop working to keep you and your money safe. Search Barclays Fraud Protection to see how you can stay one step ahead. Barclays, make money work for you.
Nick Ferrari at breakfast. Call 0345 6060973.
Let's come back to scrap the cap. Would that be the right decision? Richard in Forest Hill, I think if the cap does go and it spirals out of control, it will cost us a great deal more in taxes. Same subject, Mark in Chiswick. Callers think it means you don't get child benefit for more than two kids, not that it stops households claiming more than £22,000 in benefits. There is a big difference. If we're talking, by the way, the idea that it will lift children out of poverty, it's always important, I think, to get what's deemed to be the definition of poverty, 60% of what is the average income. It comes at broadly 18, maybe 19, a little under £20,000 per annum is deemed to be living in poverty. Who's been hanging on the line? Kirsty in High Wycombe. Kirsty, you're on the radio. Would you scrap the cap? Good morning.
Good morning, Nick. Yes, I definitely would. I get really frustrated with this conversation because I think when we're talking about universal credit, we forget that universal credit replaced tax credits and job seekers allowance and also applies to those working parents.
Good point.
My situation is I'm a social worker, so I have a good, what someone would call a good income. Mm-hmm. However, as a single parent, I also rely on a top up from universal credit.
Right.
Now, in my allowance, I have three children, but universal credit only regards that I have two children. So when it's working out what top up I should receive, it only counts the fact that I've got two children and ignores the fact that I've got a third child. And I think realistically, then that's not, obviously I'm not getting what I should get to ensure that my children have a good standard of living. And I think actually there's other ways that we can address this additional cost. I think making sure that organisations and businesses are paying enough money so that the state and our taxes are not having to provide those top-ups to people that are in work. And also, I think another point would be child maintenance. I think that can be strengthened. There should be a legal obligation for a non-resident parent
Tell me how that would work.
I don't know. I'm not a policymaker. I don't specifically know how that would work. But at the moment, yes, you can apply for child maintenance, but actually there's no legal obligation for the non-resident parent to make contributions to their child.
I
think that would be another way, or another, that needs to be looked at, because that also would save the state money in the long term. And I think overall, child poverty costs us a huge amount of money in sort of health, in the NHS, in social services. You know, we intervene in a lot of families that are impacted by poverty. So that puts stress on our services and then on taxpayers.
What would you say to the women, some of the callers I've had today, Kirsty, who in one instance can't afford to have any more children because the mortgage needs to be redone, and the other instance doesn't know if she'll ever have children, and they see how this cap operates?
So you mean that they're choosing not to have children because they can't afford it?
And they feel a little bit angry, or I'm speaking of Stacey and of Charlotte, then in some instances they will pay their taxes and they will see other people who don't have jobs, mum and dad don't have jobs, and then some cases, I think someone said they have 5-6 children, and their taxes are going to help pay towards the family, the children that they can't have.
And I completely understand their frustration, but I would like to know what the statistics are on actually that mum and dad aren't in work and they're choosing to have more children to have benefits. And you have to remember as well, Nick, that we also have the benefit cap. So we're not only penalising parents in the two-child policy, but the benefit cap. And that prevents non-working parents that can work from claiming over a certain amount. So whilst they might, on paper, look like they're getting money for five children, actually they would be impacted by that benefit cap. So actually, in fact, the two-child policy and the benefit cap together, it's like a double you're being penalised doubly. So the benefit cap protects that. It protects our money, our taxpayers' money, to stop those parents from just having more children and applying for more benefits, because the benefit cap prevents you from claiming above a certain threshold.
It does. I believe it's £60,000 if one of the husband or wife is making it. Sorry, one of the partners, I should say. Kirsty, we'll finish there. Thanks. And also the interesting idea that you floated, but we do need to get some other callers on. Coming to you in just a moment, Mark. Let's go to emails and social media. Mike in Crawley. I've no children, but presumably my annual £3,500 council tax already goes part of the way in paying for everyone's children. And from what I hear with Rachel Reeves, I'll soon be paying for even more. As to the idea of issuing vouchers, all that WellApp will initiate is a black market in the sale of vouchers. Evelina says, stop trying to make people pay for other people's kids. I chose not to have any. I don't want to be paying for any. And don't tell me we need more people to work when AI will take all the jobs by the time they are adults. Golly, that's a little bit gloomy. Let's hope that's not true. Mark in Hitchin. Mark, you're on the radio. Good morning.
Good morning, Nick. Nick, what I'd like to ask all these people who says, no, let's not do all of this. The birth rate in the United Kingdom has absolutely decimated itself and is collapsing, and it's at 1.4.
Right.
We need a birth rate of 2.1, known as a replacement rate, to sustain our population, i.e. workers.
Why are our hospitals full?
Sorry?
Why are our hospitals so full?
Maybe we need more hospitals, but the reality is, if you know anything about populations, demographics, you'll know that at this moment in time, we have a shrinking population, and the way we've covered
that... grows year on year.
Well, hang on, the reason it grows year on year, as you might have noticed from some items you've done earlier this week, is because we actually, we bring in immigrants. So, unfortunately,
some we bring in, and some, of course, go on. Yeah.
So, where we're going at this present moment in time, this is about self-preservation. Our population is shrinking because the birth rate's too low. We need to encourage as much as possible for people, literally, to have babies. If you go around Europe, and I'll give you some examples, in Hungary, if you have more than four children as a woman, you are then exempt from income tax for the rest of your life. Because of the
Are you sure? Is that right?
Yes, if you have more than four children, you are
goodness
then,
me.
As a woman, you know, no, a woman, you have to have
four children. No, I heard you say the mum. Yeah, no, I got that. Yeah.
So that's their incentive. In Italy, in parts of Italy, they will give you a house or even
are
land.
You making this up, Mark?
I'm not. Why don't you look it up on the internet?
Well,
I'll
find this. They'll give you a house if you have a child. If you have, how many children are you going to have to get a house?
So in some parts of Italy, of course, the villages have realised they are dying. They will literally give you a house or land to encourage families to come to their village.
Well, I don't think we've got any houses to give away here, have we, Mark?
Well, as you probably might have noticed from things on TV, you can literally buy a house in parts of Italy for £1. If you're prepared to do it up. But what I'm pointing out to you is those are some of the things that our other countries are doing to push up the population rate.
Right. Do you not recognise what a lot of people say, that the planet is actually overpopulated?
Well, at this moment in time, ironically, people would say it's overpopulated. I think a lot of people who are experts in that world would say it's not. But ironically, this links all of your stories together this morning. Because we have a falling birth rate, we have to have immigration, which is why the reform policy won't work in terms of mass deportation. And ironically, your sci-fi bit about the external womb might
The idea of babies. Go on.
So the point that's got to be made is, it's great for all these people to come on and say no. We literally, and I'm going to use a strap line from The Sun, we need to bonk for Britain because we are running out of people. And if we don't want immigration, we need to create them ourselves. We're not doing...
But lastly, and I've only got about less than a minute with you, but we have got considerable immigration, both controlled and uncontrolled.
I agree that we have immigration. If you looked at the last numbers of immigrants, for example, I think it was around, the net immigration was about three quarters of a million.
Yeah, all right.
A large portion of that were the workers that we needed to replace the 350,000 workers we need to replace every year.
I will end there, Mark. Thank you. I'm going to file this as It's a View and give 30 seconds to Louise in Woking. Your idea is tax relief. In a sentence or two, how would that work? Good morning.
Good morning. So, as a parent of triplets, I did benefit from child benefit, and right. Obviously there was three of them. However, my husband and I, have worked since the day we left education. The one thing that we really struggled with was having all three of them at the same time, obviously, and I don't think that the government take into account those multiple births. And I think that's one area that's really forgotten.
And you've got it on the radio, and I have to end it there, and your idea is tax relief. Louise, thank you for your input. Look after the triplets, that must be a busy house. Hey, coming up tomorrow, don't tell Global Radio, but I'd almost pay them to come to work because this man...
What are you wearing? What is that, a nightgown?
It's a nightshirt, David, and that's not the issue. The issue is the brown sludge in my bed.
I ate already. Couldn't put another thing in my mouth.
Wow, that's...
We loaned her $50,000!
We gave her $50,000, and you spent more than that on wigs that year.
Eugene Levy from Schitt's Creek will be in the studio. Yeah, I'd almost pay them to come to work. I'm done. James O'Brien's the other side of the news here on LBC. I'm back with you tomorrow morning from 7. Meantime, stay safe.
Thank you, Nick. The time is approaching 10 o'clock, and I suppose it's almost reassuring or encouraging that we can still be taken by surprise by the contortions of some elements of the media in this country. Having spent years pandering to his every utterance and rolling out red carpets for every studio in the land, Nigel Farage has somehow ended up at the top of the polls. He is the gravest threat to the governing party. So when the leader of the governing party calls the man out, quite mildly, given all of the other ammunition that he could have deployed to remind voters of how disgusting Farage's past associations and opinions are, they have a collective hissy fit, the likes of which I have never seen before. What?
On your radio, on the LBC app, and...
Play LBC.
Leading Britain's conversation, this is LBC.
from Global's newsroom at 10 o'clock. Keir Starmer's told LBC he'd like to see his former deputy, Angela Rayner, back in frontline politics. She was forced to step down last month in a row over the stamp duty paid on a flat in Hove. Several ministers backed her return at Labour's conference in Liverpool. The Prime Minister was asked if he agreed.
Yes, I mean, I said when Ange stepped down that she had been a major voice in the Labour movement and that she would be a major voice for many years to come. I was personally very sad to see her go. I mean, if you talk about social mobility, there is no greater story than Angela Rayner.
You can watch the rest of Sir Keir's interview with Nick Ferrari on the LBC app. There is growing speculation about the future of the two-child benefit cap. Treasury officials are said to be looking at scrapping the limit and replace it with a tapered benefit system. The Chancellor, Rachel Reeves, says she will only make spending commitments when she can show how they'll be funded. Dan Paskins is from Save the Children. He's welcomed the reports.
It's something which the families we work with tell us. It's not going to be life-changing amounts of money, but it's a real practical help to be able to afford some of the basics. So, you know, going into winter, you know, needing a new coat for the winter, new shoes, not having to skip meals, you know, the sort of pressures which many families are facing.
President Trump has warned he could make irreversible cuts during a US government shutdown. Funding for services was cut off at midnight after the Democrats refused to back a Republican spending plan. Hundreds of thousands of federal workers will be furloughed until the row is settled. It's claimed business confidence among company bosses fell to its lowest level on record last month. The Institute of Directors says higher labour costs was the biggest concern in its latest survey. Scientists have developed a new technique which could pave the way for new treatments for Parkinson's. It allows them to see tiny clusters of proteins in the brain which are believed to trigger the disease. In the city, the FTSE 100 a short time ago was up 21 at 93.71. The pound buys $1.34 and a euro 14. LBC weather, any early fog clearing to leave sunny spells for many places, cloudier with heavy rain in the north, a high of 19 degrees. From Global's newsroom for LBC, I'm Thomas Watt.
Angela Rippon, what are you doing here?
I've come to tell you about using energy flexibly, Albert.
Flexibly?
Yes, smart meter owners could get rewarded for moving their energy use, like doing the laundry at off-peak times.
So I don't need to do the splits?
No, Albert, nobody wants to see that.
Get rewarded for using energy flexibly, only with a smart meter. Search Get a Smart Meter today.
Eligibility and availability vary. Consumer action required. Reward schemes and tariffs available to selected customers from selected suppliers.
This is LBC from Global, leading Britain's conversation with James O'Brien.
It's 3 minutes after 10 and you are listening to James O'Brien on LBC. And I mean it, you know, I do sometimes derive pleasure from being surprised. I think you could allow me a description as a fairly enthusiastic chronicler of the madness of right-wing media in this country and right-wing politics. It's important to remember they've won everything in recent years. So what is the traditional traditional party of the right in the United Kingdom? Correct, yes, the Conservatives. Does anyone remember them? And they have more or less disappeared from political discourse. Why? Because they kept winning. Have you clocked this? You must have done. They kept winning. They've won every battle. If you were to look at the last 10 years of Daily Mail front pages, they've won every single battle, apart from the last general election, which they'd kind of given up on from months out. They've won every single battle. The stink tanks on Tufton Street even got their woman into Downing Street to introduce the economic policies that they'd spent decades claiming would make the world a better place. They've won every single battle. They won Brexit. They won the referendum. They got the austerity. They got swingeing cuts to public sector spending, hitting the most vulnerable people in this country hardest. They got Boris Johnson into Downing Street, their ultimate darling, their favourite joker. Boris Johnson goes from Daily Telegraph jester to Prime Minister of these islands. They got Boris Johnson into Downing Street. They resisted the march of reality. All of those people charged with trying to remind the British public of reality and hopefully derail or dilute Brexit. They saw them off. They crushed the saboteurs. They succeeded. They won that as well. And then when Boris Johnson finally got faced the consequences of his own moral corruption and his own lies and his own disgraceful conduct, when their darling fell, they gave him £500,000 a year to write a column for the Daily Mail and replaced him with Liz Truss, who brought in all of the economic policies that they'd spent decades dreaming of. They won again. They won. They kept winning. And then Liz Truss set fire to our economy. So the Conservative Party, and I think I might be the first person to have made this observation, and if I'm not, I apologise both for the inaccuracy and the pomposity. If I am the first person to have made this observation, I apologise only for the pomposity. The Conservative Party has been destroyed by success. The Conservative Party has been destroyed by success. It has won every battle on the political battlefields of the last decade. And the reason why it has been destroyed by its success is because the public have been able to see the consequences of those victories. It doesn't matter how complete your control of the narrative is, because you own all the newspapers and you've started setting up your own television stations and you've got your friendly, tame client radio hosts. It doesn't matter how complete your control of the narrative is. The public could see the reality of Brexit, of Boris Johnson's premiership, of austerity, and, of course, most obviously, of Liz Truss's economic policies. 4 abject victories. Win, 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 win. A party destroyed by its own success. So what does the right do next? It's a tricky one, right? What does the right do next? Having succeeded, having won all of these major political battles and yet destroyed its traditional party, what on earth do they do next? Well, I've told you a million times, they either admit the mistake, that you either sit behind this microphone and say, I obviously shouldn't have supported Brexit and I shouldn't have encouraged you to do so. I'm so sorry for treating Boris Johnson like some sort of political genius crossed with a comedy god. Obviously, I should have been calling out Liz Truss and the stink tanks that inspired her from years and years. I'm so sorry for that's your choice. Or you desperately search around for a receptacle into which you can put all of those disasters, which, of course, were also victories, and carry on pretending that you're on the right side of history. That's all you can do. You either put your hands up and apologise and resign and give up the editorship of the Daily Mail and go off and work with, I don't know, open a llama farm in Renfrewshire, or you desperately try to find a new receptacle that you have destroyed the Conservative Party by winning. Boris Johnson fans, Liz Truss fans, Brexit fans, austerity fans, you destroyed the Conservative Party by winning. And you removed all of the people from the Conservative Party who knew that you were destroying it. You even got rid of Philip Hammond. The least threatening individual imaginable. You got rid of David Gawk and Dominic Grieve. You got rid of Rory Stewart. You couldn't find a home for Amber Rudd. You got rid of everybody, even vaguely competent or honest, and you were left with a choice between Kemi Badenoch and Robert Jenrick to lead the flipping thing. You destroyed the Tory party. So what do you do? It's one of those mornings where I felt the clouds clear. As a tireless student of right-wing lies and propaganda, I was, for a while, completely baffled by what happened this morning. But that's what you have to do. So you have to now